All right, folks, I call this regular meeting of the Blue County Board of Supervisors to order. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All right. We have special presentation, retirement recognition pay, Peter Wells.
So board members, you can come up front, please. So 4 months from today, I get to be this lucky too. But this is Peter's day, and Peter's actually retiring on the 15th of March. We'd like to recognize him for his service to Fluvanna County while he served in two different positions, as in the maintenance service specialist, and then also as the assistant public works director for Fluvanna County. So congratulations on your retirement, Peter Welch. With appreciation for dedicated service to the County of Fluvanna Public Works Department, July 16th, 2016 to March 15th, 2019. Best wishes for a long and happy retirement, Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors.
If you remember from one of Steve's briefings, we had an incident in the old courthouse where one of the beams deteriorated and we had to replace it. And so I want to present to you, and I want to donate to the Historical Society, is a bowl that I turned from the beam.
Oh,
this is actually 190 years old. And so we're gonna leave that in to the Historical Society.
Yeah, it's
absolutely. Yeah, it smells bomb. It also has the crack in it. I stabilized the crack, so you can. It's kind of like their own Liberty Bell. And for each one of you, I have turned a pen with the same wood that's 190 years old. And with my appreciation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Church is not here, but this is going to the, will be in Maggie's house.
Well, you just made history.
Thank you all.
Y'all got pictures, right?
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Mr. Nichols.
A few things to report, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So Ms. Booker was recently recognized by the Fluvanna NAACP. She received their Community Engagement Award on February 5th. So congratulations to Mrs. Booker.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service in our community. Jefferson Good Neighbor Pharmacy is our business spotlight. They have their 10th anniversary celebration on Saturday. So if you get out there between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., they'll have some hot dogs and food and popcorn and things like that out there. At It's at the Turkey Side Trail Gate over by Food Lion outside the lake. And a great business in our community that's provided wonderful service and lots of engaged involvement in business and chamber events. So help get out and support Jefferson Good Neighbor Pharmacy on Saturday. And then just a reminder, the second Landlord Tenants Rights and Responsibilities Workshop is coming up for the next week, March 14th. So it's Thursday, March 14th, a week from tomorrow. That'll be at the Flavanna Community Center in Fort Union. And so we've been putting flyers out everywhere and getting the word out. We had about 27 or 28 people at the last one, and hopefully get a lot this time too. And appreciate it if any of you want to show up and come to that. It's actually quite an interesting workshop. The speaker did a great job. The state has completed their audit of cash receipts for the clerk's office here, and there were no findings in their report again for this year, so that's wonderful. The burn building property has been cleared. The dozer operations were done by the Forestry Service as an exercise, so it didn't cost us anything. So we did the clearing on there with their dozers. And we'd like to welcome Allison Piano. She doesn't come on board until March 18th, but she's coming back on board. She's coming back in to fill a position in Parks and Recreation. She left a year ago or so?
About a year ago.
In Charlottesville, and she's coming back to fill a more senior position this time. So she's excited. We'll have her back on Monday the 18th. She'll be our athletics and special events coordinator. And then the pre-construction meetings were done on the 27th, last Wednesday. Remember, the contractors are the pipeline contractors, A.G. Dillard. The water storage tank is by Chicago Bridge and Iron McDermott. And the wastewater pump station and water booster station is by Sargent. The formal notice to proceed will go out on March 8th. And then over the next 30 days or so, and a little longer, the contractors start mobilizing, putting materials on site, and get ramped up. The pipeline contractor will probably be the first on site. The other ones take a little longer, but they're specialized equipment they have to order. And there may be some opportunities for both skilled and unskilled jobs at the work sites. And later on, when Brian Rothenbell, our Economic Development Coordinator, does his brief, he'll tell you about what's going on with the timeline for the project too. I'll give you a brief one here. The work is going to be done Monday through Friday between 7 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. Only Saturday work will only be advanced approval, like for weather delays and things. And the only Sunday work would be some painting on the tower potentially, and that's generally pretty quiet work. But they need to get whatever quiet, non-windy days they can to be able to paint. Notice to proceed will go out on Friday, March 8th, this Friday, but we'll actually delay the completion date by 3 days because Friday's. And they're not going to start on Friday afternoon when we give them the letters. So Monday the 11th is when the clock starts. And then substantial completion for all three projects starts on is March 5th of 2020, a year from now. And then phase two substantial completion for the pipelines and the pump stations is September 1st. And then final completion for all of them, the water tank will be next May, but all of them will be October 31st of next year. So about a year and a half from now, we're running water. And then we're going to have progress meetings with each of the contractors on the first Tuesday of each month. And we'll talk a little bit more later on about the marketing campaign we've got set up, ready to go, and some town hall meetings set up, ready to go, and we'll give you those dates tonight, too, about sign crushing, so the residents all around the county and the press knows what's going on and with the project. There are a bunch of work sessions coming up. Remember, tonight we've got a work session right after this, and we'll move to the Morris Room for your dinner, closed session, and work session over there, so you won't be coming back to here afterwards. And then next week is the regular budget work session, and you're going to be focused totally on budget that night. The following week, your regular meeting with the budget work session, and et cetera from there. Now, next week, or the 20th, I move the budget work session in the Morris Room. It's a little easier to do work over there and use the screens and write on the board and stuff. And then we'll come over here for your regular meeting at 7 on the 20th. And that's the night, I think Mr. Sheridan won't be here.
No, the 13th.
The 13th? Okay, good.
Next week.
So you'll be here on the 20th?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic, because there's some stuff on the agenda that night. So, good. Okay, any questions I can answer for the board?
Good question. Thank you very much, Mr. Appreciate it. I will now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wish to address the board should approach witness chair at this time and keep your comments to 5 minutes directed to the board. And
sorry,
is there anyone wish to speak to the board at this time?
Hi, my name is Hal Morgan. I live at 2 Sherwood Circle, Lake Monticello. I'm here to represent my Flavanna Leadership Development Program team. Our project was to develop a concept and funding plan to build a roof at the bandstand at Pleasant Grove Park, potentially allowing for regular scheduled concerts and other activities there. The bandstand, most commonly referred to as the outdoor stage, was completed in February 2015. A $33,000 construction cost was paid by a $10,000 grant from the Van Works Fund, $2,500 donation from Tenasca, and $20,500 from Covina County. A Covina Review article announcing the completion of the project stated that the hope was that the stage would be used for music and dance performances, weddings and receptions, and award ceremonies. The February 2015 article concluded with the following: someday, when finances permit, the county would like to erect an acoustic roof with walls around the stage. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a roof, and since that, and because of that, the stage has been used infrequently during the past 4 years. Old Farm Day being held this year, May 4th, the organizing committee pays $1,000 to cover the bandstand for the day for entertainment that's provided. I think this year, four bands, a comedian and a magician, are planned. The stage is 32 feet wide and 20 feet deep with a 4-foot ramp along one side to facilitate the equipment access. Our project team has determined that the cost of erecting a permanent 32 by 24 lean-to roof, such as the one over the stage in the Jefferson Vineyards, would be $34,000. Our project team decided that a preliminary approach would be to determine if a roof would really increase the uses of the stage. We contacted Virginia Tent Rental, the firm the Old Farm Day Committee uses, and determined that the cost for a tent rental to cover the stage, to keep the covered stage from May through September, would be about $4,000 over and above the Old Farm Day Committee pays. And keeping the stage covered for these 4 months would allow opportunities to demonstrate potential uses such as concerts, dances, community gatherings, and perhaps a weekly event could be planned for Fridays in Jovana. We attended the most recent meeting of the county's Economic Development Tourism Advisory Council and provided a this overview during their public comment period. At the end of their meeting, they voted to endorse our project, rendering that we determined if constructing a roof over the stage at Pleasant Grove Park is something you, the Board of Supervisors, would support. I'm here to ask you to include a discussion of this project in an upcoming work session to ascertain if covering the stage fits with future tourism development and promotion and in building community participation and spirit building within the county. And if so, would the county be willing to put up matching funds to support a fundraising effort? Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Does anyone wish to speak at this time? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will now close the first round of public comment. We have no public hearings on the books, so we'll move forward with action matters. A, County Administrator Employment Agreement, Mr. Payne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The board is well aware, and I think the public is well aware, if you weren't before, they are now, from Mr. Nicholas's comment, that Mr. Nicholas is retiring in this first part of July, and you have been engaged in an effort to find what I will conservatively refer to as a replacement for Mr. Nicholas. And I'm pleased to announce publicly that you have at least tentatively made that award to Mr. Dahl, who has been serving as Deputy County Administrator for the last few years, and to present to you the contract that you have in your packet for his employment in that capacity. You have seen the contract, as I understand it. It has been approved by Mr. Dahl and by the chairman, and your action tonight would be, if you so please, would be to ratify Mr. Sheridan's signature on that. I have approved it as to form.
And I'd be delighted to introduce my replacement, Mr. Dahl, and his wife, Jill, that are here tonight. Yeah. Our two sons are not able to be here tonight, but we're delighted to have Jill here to witness this too. So I'm pretty excited. I don't know about the rest of you.
Yeah. Well, I think we should offer the job to Jill first. See what Eric has to say about that. I don't know, we should kind of drag this out a little bit and make him feel a little anxious.
Can we consider it?
I don't think he's really going to believe it until we
can. Can you do the motion and then bring he and his wife up and we can take a photo, please?
All righty. Do I have a motion?
I'll make it. I move to approve and authorize this agreement executed by resolution of the Board of Supervisors attached hereto to hire Eric Dahl as County Administrator effective July 6th, 2019.
Second.
Motion's been made by Ms. Seeger and seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Trying to retain folks, but also help them learn and grow while they're here in the county. And in the planning department specifically, when your director kind of oversees several different divisions, it may not be the best opportunity for other staff that are strictly focused in one area. Either their skill set or their desire to learn the other pieces aren't there. And so what we're trying to do is just create an opportunity for growth for the staff that would be in the planning department now and down the road too, where there's some promotional opportunity for them. We've done this in other departments as well. So what we're looking to do is implement the principal planner position, and so that would make three planner positions in there. We will only fill two at a time, and where they will fall out will be dependent on their skill set and qualifications. At this time, we are not looking for funding or anything of that nature for a promotion. We're just looking to implement the position.
The funding request is actually in your budget for consideration all the way. This is just to get the PD on the books.
And we had a, was that a job description in the past?
Yes, the position description is in
there. Position, yeah, right.
Yes, ma'am. So there will be three positions, but only two people filling them. This just gives some opportunities like we've done in other departments where we had some ladder positions. You only fill two people, but you've got three opportunities. Pay grade, I think 12, 14, and 16?
14, 16, 18.
Okay, 14, 16, 18. So. Mm-hmm. But only two will ever be filled at one time.
Are there any questions? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the new position description number 235 to principal planner in pay band 18 as presented.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. There are no appointments, and I will say, with our presentations, I take great pride in reading this one, because this is one of my guys. Business Retention and Expansion Plan, Brian Rothmel, Economic Development Coordinator. Make sure you start the 10-minute time.
Just a brief note. For the board, we actually had all the candidates for this position do a BRE program presentation to the panel, the selection panel, and Brian's was just knocked out of the park, and so I'm happy to present it to you, also to the EDA, then on to EdTAC as well.
I just want to know why he moved his seat right here, back over there in the corner.
It is unusual not sitting. It is unusual not sitting in the first pew.
Right.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for this opportunity to present my business retention and expansion plan. Very excited with the position and what we're getting to do. And this is just an overarching plan of what we want to do for the department. So, the first thing that I did when coming up with this plan is I just wanted to look at Flumana County and see what our opportunities and struggles were that we have currently. So for opportunities, Pleasant Grove is just absolutely fantastic and beautiful, getting to celebrate the anniversary of this year, and over 800 acres of beautiful trails along the river. It's just a tremendous asset that we have here at the county. Flumana County High School is doing a fantastic job with its programs, but not only that, the capabilities that we have in the building for greater expansion for our career and technical education. Lake Monticello, it's really good to have. I look at it as an opportunity that we have such a large population in one area because it makes it easy for us to mobilize, to think of programs and plans for that area. So I really appreciate being able to have Lake Monticello in the county. Fort Union Military Academy has great national and international brand, along with a lot of tourism that comes through the county as parents and alumni are coming through. So look them for an opportunity. And then having the population of over 26,000 people, there are counties around us that are smaller that don't have the workforce or the people that we have, and it's really an advantage for us. And then Zion Crossroads is a blank slate, which is really good when you're looking at our surrounding localities that might be trying to backfill locations. We have an opportunity there to really forward look and not say, oh, well, we need to try to fit a round peg into the square here. And then we have a large regional tourism industry that are coming through Charlottesville area all the time. And that's really great. The dollars coming from the outside area and what we can do with that. The struggles that we have is we're a bedroom community. That means people are coming to Flumana, but they're living here with the idea that they're going somewhere else. For something, for primarily work. Government is our top employing sector. Number one employer would be the public schools. Flumana County government's number four. Number two would be the Department of Corrections. And then you have Fort Union Military is the top four. So we have our largest employer being government is a struggle for us. And we're losing nearly 7,000 people every day. They're leaving the county and driving over 30 minutes to go to work. That means an hour of their day they're not spending inside the county, and they're also using those habits, because when you're going to work, you're passing gas stations, you're passing pharmacies, you're passing grocery stores, and it's just natural that they're gonna wanna do those on their way back from work. And unfortunately, a lot of times that won't be in the county. And then we're rather unknown in the region. When you talk to a Flumana resident, they probably know more about Charlottesville than a Charlottesville resident would know about Flumana County. So I wanted to meet with a few business owners that I knew in my network and talk about what's going on the ground for them. And they wanted to talk about things that they need. Talked to a couple business owners that said that they should be growing more, that they are growing, they're doing well year over year. However, according to their research and the numbers that they look at, they thought they'd be even further along with our population and with the factors that we have here. Another business owner said that he hasn't grown in years, that for the last several years, handful of years, he can predict his revenue within $500. And why is that, and what can we do to help? Others said that they need more workers, that the workforce is difficult for them, that people are going into Charlottesville and not thinking about employing here, like having their employer here in the county. I heard this a few times, that residents are used to doing the things in Charlottesville. And that makes sense when you're losing such a large percentage of your the population each day to go to Charlottesville. And then they talked about, they liked our tentpole events, as I call them, the big events, but we really don't have anything that's a smaller event that allow community members to congregate here in the county. What do they love about the county? It's really easy to do business here. We've eliminated a lot of the hurdles, a lot of the bureaucracy that other localities have to make it very quick for a business owner to start here in the county. They really enjoy the community aspect, especially online. They see that there's a good nucleus of people online that are willing to talk about how proud they are of the county. What can we do to take them offline? But their good nucleus is online right now. And every single business owner I spoke to, every single community member I spoke to in preparation, said Pleasant Grove, Pleasant Grove, Pleasant Grove, Pleasant Grove. That was always the first thing of, what do you like about Fermanagh County? Pleasant Grove. And I'm sure we all agree with that. And they love these tentpole events. The county fair does excellent, Old Farm Day and Earth Day. So with all that in mind, I try to think of, you've done a lot of work to get to this point. What kind of needs to be the motto of the work that we do? And that's, it's 7 a.m. in Fluvanna. We've done all this work to get ready, just as your body does all this work to rest and get ready to go for the day. But the day is breaking, it's 7 a.m., and it's time to wake up. It's time for us to do the work to get going. So my business plan, retention expansion plan focuses around 5 key aspects that we want to increase exposure of Fluvanna and its assets, want to meet with more, potentially all business owners, that would be the ultimate goal, want to meet with the regional partners that can help us, want to meet with the key partners in Zion Crossroads, and then we want to create more in-person community opportunities. The first one is increasing exposure of Fluvanna and its assets. We have a bedroom community that probably doesn't know enough about its own county and the assets that we have and the things that you can do here. And the reason is because people really live in Charlottesville, but they sleep here. They might be cooking their dinner here, but everything else that they're doing is all happening in Charlottesville. Residents can wake up on a Saturday morning, never cross a county line, and have a full day plan. Let's show them why. You can wake up, take your dog to the dog park, go for a hike on Pleasant Grove, go get your picnic set up, go to a winery, then eat at a restaurant. And that's a full Saturday. That's absolutely wonderful every weekend. We need to show residents more what we can do here. People want to hang out where positivity is, and we can contribute to creating a positive aspect of Fluvanna through more media promotion, especially on the social side. We can't make media coverage happen automatically, but what can we do to make sure that it makes it easier to cover Fluvanna, especially the good things that we have going on here? And then the biggest cheerleader for Fluvanna needs to be the economic development coordinator. Someone asked me what my favorite part of the day is, and it's just thinking about what we can do for Fluvanna and talking about the cool stuff that we have going on. So, meeting with business, the current business owners is tremendously helpful. Anytime we can help a current business grow, that's gonna have an immediate impact on the Fluvanna economy. That's not waiting for something else to happen, that we're not creating the conditions that hopefully in 5 years something will happen. We're creating conditions where immediately more money will be coming through the Fluvanna economy. Business owners already say that Fluvanna is easy, but what else are we missing, or what else can we do? One thing is, we want to make sure that we show how vibrant of a business community we have here in the county. We currently have 50 businesses listed on our website. The Commissioner of Revenue estimates we have over 800 businesses operating in the county, so that's 6% of the businesses are listed on our website. So we want to make sure we create a good picture of what's going on here in the county. In the four meetings that we've had, that I've had with business owners, they've already given me a laundry list of things they want me to look at. We have the sign ordinance. We've already made some changes. Are there other changes that we haven't thought about yet? An apprenticeship program to help for workforce development, increasing the digital footprint that the county has, and then publicity of the county assets. And we want to work with the chamber as much as I can, just because they have such a good nucleus of businesses that are energized and that they work with so closely. Meeting with regional partners is a tremendous help for me, mainly because I'm new to the field, so I need to understand what they do, but it also gives them a chance to tell me what they want to do. If you have an organization that has done A, B, and C tasks for their entire existence, but they really want to start getting into the, you know, a D task, well, this gives them a chance to talk about that, and maybe we could be on the ground floor of the work that they're doing there. We have a lot of partners that already have meetings set up for Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development, the Central Virginia Small Business Development Center, Virginia CareerWorks Piedmont, which you probably know them as the Piedmont Workforce Network. They just changed their name. Virginia Economic Development Partnership, PVCC, and then Fluvanna County Public Schools to help with the CTE program, and then Fork Union, as I said, about that tourism aspect.
The reason we hired him is because he knew what all those acronyms meant.
That was going to say, that was impressive.
It's, when we do meet, it's like alphabet soup, and when they start, because a lot of them are all associated with each other, too, so you talk in meetings with a lot of acronyms, I'm learning so far. Like I said, with the Chamber of Commerce, they're just a tremendous resource, and they have business owners that want to get information, and it's a good way for us to get information to them and get feedback as well. And then other local economic development officers are a tremendous resource for us. Not only can they help me navigate this field, but also if we're trying to attract a business that they've previously attracted, we can use their contacts and their help in trying to get through the, you know, the tangle mess that sometimes can be the corporate world. Also, if they have someone that was looking at their county but for whatever reason didn't work out, I want to make sure that they can say, hey, you need to go talk to Brian in Fluvanna County. They might have the conditions that you're looking for. I have no problem with trying to get leads from other local economic development offices. I want to meet with the key Zion Crossroad partners. You're investing a lot of money in water infrastructure. And how can we get those properties ready so that when water's pumping on October 31st, 2020, we're ready to go for development? We need to know who's looking to sell, who's not looking to sell, and how I can help with either side. We don't want anything to kind of hinder us as the business is coming through for development. And local real estate agents are a tremendous resource, especially for those people selling. If they're already marketing their property, how can we help them to market it more through VDP, on our website, to businesses that are looking at the county? We want to make sure we have a good relationship with those real estate agents. And Fluvanna is still a tight-knit community. Getting an introduction from my network, from colleagues' network, from other people that might know of someone that owns property there, it's a tremendous help for us to get it in so that we can help that owner, that landowner. And my final aspect of the plan is to create in-person events and opportunities. Retail business owners need a better pipeline of customers. And how can we schedule smaller events that encourage Fluvanna residents to gather in the county still, or encourage outside people to come into the county? We have success with our tentpole events, the county fair, Earth Day, but people want to stay in the county. We just need to give them the opportunity. And how can we, one of those ways might be to create a trail. You know, Nelson County does a great job with Route 151. Can we create a trail for our agribusinesses, our artisans, our consumables, or our farmers? I have some ideas that I'm kicking around about the trail early, but still need to workshop them before we're ready to go on that. I did talk to one of our agribusinesses yesterday about it, and he appreciated the idea at least. So we're trying to get the trail. It's been something that many people have talked about over in my notes. And then can we carve up a niche off of the regional tourism industry? if people are going to Monticello, how can we have them take the long way to 64 and come through the county? One of those ways is digital marketing. It's cheaper per use. I still want the same digital marketing budget, but we can make our campaigns can be smaller and more targeted. So if someone's at Monticello, we can target it for that area. So when they're taking a picture of the garden and they're posting it on Facebook and seeing what their other friends are doing, they could also see an ad to come out to Pleasant Grove, or if we create a trail, come to the trail. So we can do some more things with digital marketing than we can with just putting one magazine ad out or two magazine ads out. One of those things with marketing, I came up with some marketing ideas that I would like to get feedback on. And this would really be something that the county would, it's not changing our tagline, it's not changing any of that, but what the idea is, we're gonna start with these plans, and we'll see the whole organization try to market with these plans as the template, if you will. The first one is Fluvanna, where more is less. So ideas, we post this picture on Instagram, and it'd be, in Fluvanna there are more acres to roam and less traffic lights to sit through.
We'll be hard pressed to find anybody's got less traffic lights than us.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that he's sucked up already because that's his wife's picture. Jill took that picture, so.
It's a good picture. So some ideas, more acres, less traffic lights, and that would be for Pleasant Grove Farm. More bark, less pavement would be for the dog park. More feet up moments, less standing around the wineries. Our wineries have great areas to hang out in. If you've been to other wineries on the weekends in the Charlottesville area, they're much more crowded, they don't really have the lounging areas. So the idea of more feet up moments, let's come hang out. And then for economic development, you know, more opportunity, less government, because we've taken out so many government ideas, so many government hurdles that there are. So that's the first one that I came up with. The second one is a play off of Pleasant Grove. So Fluvanna, pleasantly you. So be you and paddle the day away. A day in Fluvanna is pleasant just for you. So this would be, all these would end with Fluvanna is pleasant just for you. BU, play disc golf. BU, bark and run without a leash. BU, and learn about your history. BU, build your business here. Then ending with Fluvanna is pleasant just for you. With Pleasant Grove just being such a tremendous asset that we have and so large and really centered around so much that we do, that play off of, you know, constantly talking about pleasant. That was where I thought with that. So do you guys have any thoughts or?
I'm gonna say yes.
I'm pleasantly absorbing everything. I'm trying to put my feet up.
Are you looking for input of things that we would add or?
Well, does the concept sound like reasonable?
I mean, the concept sounds good.
Yeah,
no,
you
want I think,
that kind of vibe.
I would, I would involve the rivers.
Yeah.
I think I would involve, that's the only thing that I've seen thus far that I would add in, is I'd add in the rivers. You talk about kicking back.
That's a big asset.
You kick back on the river.
Don't look, there we go. So yeah, the BU paddle the day away.
Yeah.
I was actually hoping that I had a picture, but it didn't size well on the presentation of someone on the river.
Oh,
so that idea that you can, way to spend a great Saturday, you can paddle in the morning.
Down
the right way.
I was probably there. I was looking for the rural aspects of Fluvanna. The countryside, the hunting, the fishing.
We'll get him there.
Yeah.
We'll work on him. He's got a little city in him.
Okay.
So we'll have to do. So when he gets this concept kind of fleshed out with a lot of taglines.
I think you're right on line with what you're.
He'll vet it through ETA and that jack, and then he'll come back to you just for approval.
Right.
So these are just start using these marketing tags.
Yeah. I think I think I also need to be aware of, I know you know the county, you need to go, I don't know how far you've gone down south, but when people see this southern part of the county, they need to realize that they are in this picture, that they're part of this picture. And because a lot of people in my area think like they're all concentrating on Zion's Crossroad, Lake Monticello. We're not, they're not thinking about us. So I don't know how you make it all inclusive so people will really buy into everything and know that they're included in that. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Clear?
Very well, Safe Chapel, the James River, the Hardware River, all the things in the southern part of the county. There's lots of resources there. We just need to tie those into what these things are. Mm-hmm. There are some great things about Pleasant Grove. It's a draw, and it's kind of set in the county. But we need to tie those other things, too.
Sure. Remo Bluff, the coal ash and you.
Coal ash.
But when you're talking about...
Okay, we're not using him anymore.
We were talking about the Fort Union area. Specifically, I was thinking about that. You learn about your history.
Yes, when I saw that, I knew that, you know, you were trying to bring... You were bringing in the history, because that's a whole...
Especially as we do more with the Columbia, you know, with CARE. Things that we can do in Columbia.
I was going to say, because I think it's more not just the southern portion, but the entire... The rural...
Anything besides this complex
and I would add Richmond into it sometimes, because there's a lot of folks in Fluvanna that work in Richmond. Sure. A lot of folks from River Lake, trust me, they drive right through Kent's door most of them. So I see them. I'm driving the opposite way going to school. But I mean, you've got great ideas. These are just things that we can add into it.
The idea being that these taglines would be just be how we would shape so much of the conversation that we're trying to have about the county.
And so many people don't know about the things that you're talking about. The disc golf, a lot of them.
And EdTech is working on 100 things to do in Fluvanna County brochure. Mm-hmm. That'll be on the website, and it'll be hard copy. So they're working on that, too.
Good. I'll forward you a picture of fish.
So with that,
can you say that a little bit more southern, please?
I can't help that. That's it. I've been talking that way for a long time.
So
every once in a while, it gets worse.
So as I said, it is 7 a.m. in Fluvanna, and let's wake them up. So
cool. That's got like that right there, because that makes such good sense. Because like you said, they eat breakfast and then they're gone.
Well,
and they come back at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7:30. The live and play, you have the work. Slide, did you? Did I miss the work slide?
No, I just used two pictures from the website. The live play.
Yeah, those tags will use those through the live, learn, work, and play in various circumstances and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, that tagline will definitely still be our slogan. It's more just these marketing ideas is kind of our marketing plan of how we will implement.
And I asked Brian Hulse to put together some updates on Zion Crossroads, so he's going to cover that now, too.
The first thing that will be marketing, if you will be the Zion Crossroads project, the public information that will be going out for that. We have two town halls scheduled, both on the same week. April 23rd will be at Beaver Dam Baptist Church, and then on April 25th will be at the Community Center. And that will be a good chance for residents to come with questions. I do have our flyers for you. I brought copies that. So that way, we'll be making those flyers, but those just got done today. We also will have a project information page where all of our updates will be going on our microsite off the website. So we'll be keeping that updated. We will be creating, you probably remember this brochure from June of 2014. This was before it was approved. Mm-hmm. So it's talking about water ideas and reason why the county wanted. We'll be remaking this with updated information. And that will be printed. And also our first media contact will be a press release that will go out on Friday with the notice to proceed.
This may not fit, but you know, the faith community touch a lot of lives of people who work here. I don't know how you put that in such a nice plan. I don't know if you're separating the church from state. Does that apply to us? Yes, we have 40-some. Fork Union District has 18 or more churches, all denominations. I guess we have 40 or 50 churches. You don't pass St. Peter and Paul as parking lots full. I mean, you know, I don't know how we get a coalition of faith people to spread the... I beat people against the head when I go, but they don't seem to... I can't get them to relate that this is your county. It's our county. And maybe you can help me do that in the future.
I like to communicate, and I like to... broadcast what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we'll be,
yeah.
I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of,
right, you can come.
Of new things, you know, trying to be more social, mm-hmm. Our social media, and aspects that will go with that.
Right.
Obviously, Simon Crossroads will be in many of those updates.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
So, before you leave, I just want to recognize somebody else. I'd like to recognize that young man sitting right back there. The reason we have such a fine young man, I will recognize his father, Mr. Larry Rothmel. I think it's the first time I've ever used your first name. I'm not going to say Mr. Rothmel. But thank you so much for this young man. I'd like to recognize you for bringing him to us. Thank you, Mr. Rothmel.
Supporting him. That's nice. Very good. Boy, you set up to a high expectation.
That's the goal.
Yes,
hey,
good.
Hey.
Yeah.
Set big goal.
We're going to help you.
And then swing for them.
Yeah.
All righty. Look, I've already been writing notes up here, too. So before we leave, before we go to closed session, all right? Consent agenda. D, minutes of February 20th, 2019, Ms. Harris. E, position description update. Executive assistant clerk to the board, Ms. Rice. F, position description update. Assistant county administrator, Ms. Rice. G, position description update, Director of Finance, Ms. Rice. H, FY19, BOS, contingency budget transfer, Caroline County, Mr. Polite. I, FY19, budget supplemental appropriation, Ward versus Fluvanna County, Mr. Polite. J, school resource officer, school security officer grant, Captain Hill. K, proclaiming March, colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, Ms. Harris. I've probably tried that one before I came up here.
All those medical terms are a pain, especially that one.
Is there anything we want to pull on the consent agenda? If not, do I have a motion?
I have a question.
Okay, well, what's your question, ma'am?
I don't know which one of these position descriptions it was. It had some beginning, it was in red, and it had beginning like assist, so on and so. And I was, my question was, who are they assisting? Is that there?
Assisting the assistant county administrator. Blow it up for you.
Okay, that's assist, yeah.
This is changing my executive assistant's position
to,
as we implement the assistant county administrator, this person will assist them on some of the duties because we moved some duties to different parts. So,
okay.
So we change something, realign some of those duties.
Yeah.
That's two people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
You became one.
It sounded.
Just one.
And the other was something about, you gave job description, but there was the person had a liberty. You gave them some space where they could do things without. They could use their own discretion.
Oh, that probably is the kind of ministry one.
Yeah. I'm sure it's okay, but it just seemed to have been. Like, you know, like you get these contracts and give you all your duties, and then it'll say, and whatever else we ask you to do.
Oh, all of the last line, all of the related tasks as assigned. It
covers a lot that
right.
Has
yeah.
Every one of them has that in there, but
all yeah. Oh. Okay, don't worry about it. they like it. It's okay. Okay, that's fine.
All right, do we have a motion?
Is it a where? Where's the motion? Oh, I move that Go ahead, Mr. Reeve. I see you getting ready.
I move that we approve the consent agenda D through K.
Second.
A motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Eager. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. All right. I will now open the second. Oh, hang on. Is there any old business or unfinished business? Any new business? Okay. I'll now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should approach the witness chair. Please state your name, your address, and keep your comments to 5 minutes directed to the board and on topic. Does anyone wish to speak to the board at this time? Seeing none, I will now close the second round of public comments.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Atlantic County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A5, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, prospective industry, investment of funds, and litigation.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor? Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are now in closed session.
Kind of staying out on public works, but Aaron's got some special programs in there that I didn't fund in my budget that we wanted to highlight and point out, and then we may do that with some other departments at other meetings too. So, and then Jessica here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jessica can also talk about her intern program that I mentioned last meeting. So.
All right, good evening. How you doing? Thanks for letting me come and speak about my budget for FY20. So what I did tonight, I didn't do my whole budget. I took out things that Mr. Nichols did not recommend in my budget. So I'm going to point those out to you today.
So these are just highlights of things that weren't funded in the co-ed proposal.
Okay. And if you have any questions, please let me know as we go. All right, so the first few things are staffing needs that I've requested. The lines are in my budget. It's line 9 and 10 in my budget line. That's where, so if you see, you'll see it throughout the PowerPoint, I say lines. That's where they are if you want to see. So it's up in the yellow, the first two.
Looks good, Kelly.
So the first one is the CERSAE certified staff. We're going to need somebody to staff the commercial kitchen to open it. By effective July 1st, 2018, the Department of Health requires somebody to be employed on site during the rental of the kitchen.
And that's the new state requirement.
It was new after, and that was after we started renovating the kitchen in 2016 to start with, and then as we finally completed. So to be able to do the next step, I'm going to have a staff member on site during the hours we're renting it. The business should only be utilized when it's rented, and the salary will be into the rental fee.
Let me ask you this question. Can you use one of your current temps that does other programs that may be available to do that without putting them past 29 hours a week?
Possibly. But, so we have about four that we can regularly call on at nights, but we have open gyms, we have rentals for, dog classes, other stuff, so it's tough. And then we have our weekend people. So a lot of times they can't be there during the day.
Well, either way, the cost is the same, whether it's an existing person who just takes extra hours or a new person who takes extra hours. It's not a benefit-paid position. It's just extra hours.
Yeah, and the way we have some programming, like if we had the county fair, per se, we wouldn't be able to run to staff the commercial kitchen because all my people are running the county fair, that kind of stuff. So that's why I kind of see it as a special needs, because you may need somebody at 6 o'clock in the morning to open up, or it may be 6 o'clock at night. So it's going to take that special type of person to find, I think, to be able to open it.
And you said you'd probably need a few, three.
I'm looking to, if we had two people, that would give some flexibility. If one couldn't, the other could, and they'd both be certified. Because you have to, I wouldn't want to certify a whole bunch of people. So I'd probably try to certify two people to start with to see if that would work out, and we could staff it that way. We looked at the rate of, the average rate of the Virginia commercial kitchen right now is $33 an hour. So I'm going to come to you at a later date and propose $35 an hour as a rental rate for our kitchen, which would be about on the average. And if you would take, if that would be rented 20 hours a week at $33 an hour, it brings in about $34,000 a year. So if you cut that in half by, you know, your person there, you get about $15,000 a year off of a 20-hour a week rental.
Not counting utility use.
Not counting utility use and all that other stuff. Right. But just with the individual.
Just got to find a way to make a net positive.
Mm-hmm. Are there any questions on that one? So I'll go next to park maintenance staff. That's good. So for this, I'm asking for a person to be under the direction of myself. He is currently, and Public Works is great. We have a great working relationship with them. Sometimes they can't get things done, and I don't have anybody to ask to go do it or tell to go do it. It's usually myself that has to go do it. I don't have the time to do it a lot of times, so I'm asking for a part-time person that would be under me. They would do a lot of trail maintenance. I got the disc golf course I'm getting ready to open. That would be new maintenance for Public Works to have to take over. I've been mowing it. It takes about 2 hours to mow three holes right now. For some of them, we've had a lot of volunteer work. We would share equipment with Public Works, so we wouldn't need to purchase any new equipment. We currently already do that because myself, I request for something to be out there so I can go do work. I ask them to leave a chainsaw, weed eater, and a lawnmower out there at all times. That way I have access to them. That way I can just go and, like last week, I cut four or five trees off a trail last week. It took me about 2 hours. Me and Steve Hester, Public Works, we went together and did it. But sometimes I don't have that, and I'm just out there doing it. Sometimes I can take a staff member with me because I don't like to go by myself. Especially cutting a tree is very dangerous. So, you know, I'll take one of my full-time staff, but I don't have they can't do it every week, you know what I'm saying, or when we need it. So I really need a person that I can say, hey, can you go do these trails? You know, can you go mow this field because something happened in Public Works? They had to go do something somewhere else, and they didn't get to it. And I'm ultimately responsible because I'm responsible for the park to get these things done. And it's tough to get something done when you have to ask and you can't direct somebody to do something. Although they're really good at helping when I ask to do something.
How about we just realign somebody from Public Works to Parks and Rec?
That could be a possibility, but I still think...
You guys talk about that first, or let's see if it's reasonable, because maybe that person that's doing, that moves from Public Works to Parks and Rec takes care of Pleasant Grove Park or something. But anyway, you can talk about it as an alternative.
I feel during the summer, Public Works kind of needs some help. And this would assist them with that help that they would need. Like, so whether it be with me or with them, I think they need some help, personally, because we get overgrown. I mow grass. I'm not above mowing grass, but I do it. I don't have time to do it sometimes, so if I don't have time, it doesn't get done. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate, but we need a little bit of help at the park.
Well, and with all the rains, too, the park's a mess right now.
Very tough.
Really, yeah.
And I've been on the trails. I've got FUMA cadets coming at the end of the month to do some trail maintenance for us. They got 12 hours they need to do. So I'm sticking with weed eaters and loppers and putting them over on the overlook and coming this way. But that's not going to last for so long. You know, I'm asking them to cut 2 feet off the trail, but 2 feet will grow back in 3 months. You know, I mean, you try to do what you can with volunteers, but it's really tough. And I don't have the time to get out there with loppers and cut trees. And we have horses that ride out there. So our trees really need to be about 12 feet high, 13 feet high, not an average of 6 or 8. People on bikes. I know Eric rides his bike out there a lot. You know, he's a little bit shorter than a horse, but not much. On his bike, you know what I'm saying?
And that didn't come out right, but...
He's already insulting his new boss.
Yeah, at least you didn't call him an ass.
He said he was not as big as a horse.
We might have found the park maintenance staff member.
But, I mean, we have to look at all those kind of things when we're doing the maintenance, and we have about 23 miles of trails I have to maintain. Plus, we got an extra six-tenths of a trail when we took over the rail trail. So, I mean, there's some needs.
How many people do that for you?
What?
How many people work in Parks and Rec?
I have, including myself and Melinda, there's 5 full-time staff.
No part-time?
We do. They're a lot on the weekends. They work other jobs during the day, so it's a lot of night help. I have about 8 normally on staff, but a lot of them, like some of them are in the sheriff's department, so they can't help but certain hours. Joe, Carolyn, they're my main two people that I use. They're retired, so they do a lot of our hours when nobody else can. I've got a lady that's a substitute teacher. I've got a guy that's a retired preacher. So we have people, but it's tough because they have other
you
things they're doing.
You don't pay them, though. They're volunteers.
No, we pay them.
You pay them.
Yes, ma'am. They're on our salary. They're,
okay.
They're on
their hourly wage.
They're hourly.
Temps.
They're on yes. salary.
They're all listed hourly. As temps and hourly
so
wage.
Eight of those people?
Around.
And with the one other question about the kitchen staff,
huh?
What do they do? Do they just open it and
they are to oversee the kitchen.
Oh, budget too.
We have to have somebody officially in the building when somebody rents it that is served.
But they're not
certified.
In the kitchen actually just cooking.
Not they're not cooking. They are making sure that the person knows what they're doing to start out.
The schools do the same thing.
And then
you
go down,
rent any of the schools
and
you don't use the kitchen.
Back and just
they put one of the kitchen staff there. They have to be there.
They're
not using the machine. They have to be inside the kitchen.
They have to be inside the building, yes. Inside the kitchen to start with.
In the cafeteria, in the
go back to the budget.
Okay, you say building.
It is.
She says
but it's in the kitchen area. Yes, they have to be in
that right there.
All the way at the end.
So we have to have somebody. I may have to get certified because my name would be on the head of the building because it would be under Parks and Rec, so we may have to get three people.
That little button right there.
But this one. Yep. I've talked to Kim, and she's willing to help us get certified through the extension office, so right. It would save us some money where we would only maybe have to pay for the exam and not the full class. So we have tried to figure out a way to work together to make this happen. As
They just have a class on Saturday.
They have a couple throughout, but yeah, I think she said they could possibly get somebody to come down to teach it for us if we needed to.
It's just safety issues,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Did that answer your question? Any other questions about my first slide?
Keep going.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, so the next is an advertising. Trying to have the 25th anniversary of the park. I wasn't here at the last meeting. It was raining real hard, and Steve thankfully offered to give my brief for me that night, and he said y'all supported the idea, but I need money to be able to put the program on. It's not in my normal operating budget. It's like a one-time thing, so I'm asking a couple places to be able to have some money to put this on. If I'm going to advertise this, it costs some money to advertise, so... it's a big event. We want a lot of people out there, so we'll probably want to end the TV and the flyers and the newspapers. You're going to promote it. We're planning to partner with the Sheriff's Department, with Community Safety Day and other stuff for the 25th anniversary of the park. So we're trying to make it a huge, really big event. But I'm gonna ask for a couple other things as we go along for the 25th anniversary to happen.
I think that the price was $6,000 in the
total. Yes, and it's and that's broken down through here of what it is.
That $500.
It's part of the $6,000. Yes, ma'am. The next would be office supplies. I forget what was approved from Steve, but I'm asking for an extra $500. I think he recommended $2,000 on that one. The reason I'm asking for a little bit, we do a lot of paper and stuff because we do flyers to the school. Our county vendor informed us there's going to be increases in office supplies this year. So I have to be able to try to make that up, and that's why I asked for the extra little bit of money. Uniform and apparel, I think Steve said $500, recommended $500 in his proposal. I'm asking for another $1,000. Like I said, I have 5 full-time employees, 8 part-time staff, and 4 camp counselors. I mean, we work inside, outside. We want to be branded. I believe so, right?
Go ahead.
Okay. We want to be branded, as Parks and Rec. We want to be seen. We want to be branded so you know who we come to. Without some money to be able to have uniforms for my staff, it's hard to do. We try to not buy stuff that we don't need. Like, I just bought rain jackets. I won't buy those again, but... Some of my staff needs like a hoodie, or a fleece, something like that. Then when we're outside of Halloween, we're outside at night, we need that kind of stuff. And $500 doesn't go far for 5 people, less the part-time staff that I have to get stuff for too. So that's why I'm asking for $1,000 on that.
So you all don't have a shirt that says Boxer.
We do have some shirts, but we have stuff.
These are replacements over time.
Replacements, but over time, I mean, like mine, I don't drop.
Someone who comes on board.
I wash them, but I don't dry them. I hang them up, but they still get the little frivly balls, and then they're going to rip.
Yeah.
You know, you got to replace them over time. Unfortunately, it happens. But we're out. We get muddy. We get grease on us. You know, when you do that kind of stuff, that shirt doesn't look good when you're trying to host a daddy. I mean, a young Valentine's lady dance. So,
next one.
I'm asking, sorry. Next is for additional funds for senior centers. I'm at requesting $50 more a month for our four centers. We've had an increase in our centers. Cunningham has 2, 14, 7, you know, 6 and 6 at the others. We can serve 125 seniors in a week. That's how many we have on our contact list. So currently, we get $2.40 a senior per week. That's hard to be able to do much with. And what I'm only asking, would give me $3.20 a senior per week. So I'm just trying to be able to provide more stuff with more people we're getting. The $5,500 is part of the $6,000 for the Pleasant Grove Park 25th anniversary. We got to be able to get a band. We want a band, stage. You know, we want it to be nice. We want a bunch of activities. So,
I was noticing that the timeline for, you have several big events very close together, end of August, September.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be too much for the people in the county to handle. I think they're like three
4 weeks apart. I don't think it would be a problem. People are always looking for something to do.
What are the events?
The county fair, which is August 14th or the 17th, I think. And then the anniversary would be on the 7th, September 7th.
And there's something else.
Yeah,
it's a big event.
Blue Ram County.
For us?
Carnival. Yeah.
The carnival is in May. There's a carnival in
Farm
May.
Day.
Old Farm Day's in May.
Right.
Isn't there something in the fall?
The we have the Halloween thing for
our
the
Halloween,
kids, but that's just a couple
there's
hours.
There's the Boy Scout thing at the park in the fall.
The Jamboree. But that's all just Boy Scouts camping there. The kite festival's in April.
There's nothing in September out there, and besides the county fair, there's really
nothing. There's nothing in June or July at all. Families are gone kind of then, so.
The East, well, that's in East. We're doing that in April this year.
April
this year. We have our Earth Day in April this year.
You don't have flying kites that you used to?
That's in April.
We used to, yeah. We've had trouble contacting them, so I don't know if they're coming back. They've had some illnesses and a couple of deaths, and they're all volunteers, so we're still trying to figure that out.
The barbecue bands and brews was one that used to be at the same time frame, or the wine festival. Those are both gone.
And that was through the chamber.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's a big day, and I believe that the park was bought in September. That's why we're trying to have the 25th anniversary in September. It just so happens that it's 3-4 weeks close to the county fair.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture to fixtures, I think, I'm not quite sure exactly what it was recommended. I asked for an extra $1,000 trying to replace the old.
That was secondhand furniture that came from state auctions when it got here the first time.
The seniors, it's hard for them to get up and down. It's right in the hallway right outside of them. So we like to get something kind of like, I think, what the treasurer's department have or something nice, chic looking there. That's the request for that.
No, that couch was in my dorm when I went to
college. Right, I might have one too,
That's government institutional furniture.
It's got kind of fond memories.
Yeah, it's still got puke marks on it.
Yeah, they were stained. I tried to take their picture somehow. The next, I'm requesting some money for a Soccerville fence. It's very tough. This is a good estimate. I actually measured it, went out, and I got the quote how to do it. So that's a good estimate on that. The problem is we're having to do a lot of fixes out there. We have cars. I ran cars off of there. I ran bikes. People have RV, like the little remote controls. dogs, deer, you know, they tear up. And we have 75 sprinkler heads out there. Each one were $75 every time we have to replace one. So that's what, just about $5,600. All of our other athletic fields have fences around them. This does not. We tried to put a rope fence kind of around the soccer. It does not deter people from driving on it. So if we want to keep it from getting, we want a nice looking playing field, one of these days we're going to have to fence that place in.
Mm-hmm. How about if we do two sides instead of four sides? You know, the areas where they come into.
They can drive around them, though. Like it's
okay, three sides. Take it to the woods.
Possibly. You take it to the big hill. We could take right. it to the big hill.
To the big
hill. We could possibly do that. Save a little bit of money down that stretch, but
Maybe $10,000.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's the long side, so maybe $15,000.
Yeah, maybe. I'd have to walk it off, but that's fine. But something's going to have to be done if we want to keep maintaining good athletic fields. And it's tough. Steve Hester, he said, tell him to come talk to me about this. He's the one that does a lot of the maintenance on it. He can tell you a lot of what happens if you're wondering. So talking about our sprinkler head system, asking for, like, when Wayne was here, the previous public works director, we talked about we have a water tank currently out at the park. We're talking about kind of putting it under the hill. So when the water from the well that feeds the irrigation system to the soccer fields, it's hooked to the schools. When the schools take the water, it sucks all of our irrigation, everything out of the irrigation, goes straight to the schools. So we have about a third of our sprinkler heads are working correctly. You know, it's only working about a third correctly. So it doesn't do what it's supposed to do correctly to, you know, grow grass, basically. So we're asking to try to put a water tank up there. We'd fill it when the schools aren't collecting the water. And then it would feed, then the water tank would actually feed to the irrigation system to irrigate our soccer fields.
It's that, a much more efficient way to do
yes,
it. We didn't necessarily need it too much this year, but.
But, I mean, if you don't have a wet season, it's hard to grow grass right. and stuff. So that's that request. The next one is a gate to close Pleasant Grove Park and the dog park. So, you know, at night, there are people driving on fields everywhere, vandalism, they're out there drinking. The sheriff's department has to ride through there. They are on board with trying to help secure it at night. That way they have less worry to patrol in there and they can do other stuff throughout the county instead of worrying about the park. The dog park's really bad down at Sandy Beach. There are fires down there all the time at night. People will park down the bottom, walk down. They'll build a fire down at Sandy Beach, leave beer cans. It's a way to be able to keep people out. The sheriff's department has offered to open and close the gates. So there's no additional staff needed. They do it during their patrols. That's the request for that.
I've asked Mr. Weaver not to take his beer cans down there anymore. That may slow down.
I see a lot of beer and wine cans at the soccer fields, too. You'd be amazed. But down at the soccer fields, you see a lot of beer and wine cans, and they actually throw them away, but you see them in there, huh? So that's
yes.
I'm in control of the litter control program. So that has to do with Earth Day. This past year we had Earth Day. We were budgeted $15,000 for it. At 10:45 a.m. we had to shut everybody off and talk about it. You know, we spent $18,000. I believe if we want to have a successful Earth Day and serve a great majority of the county, we need about $25,000 to do so. I talked to the company Viola. He said there's some things, way we could cut back on some of the stuff, like the oil. We shouldn't take the oil, it should go to the landfill. You know, like batteries can go to the landfill, I think. So some of that stuff, we shouldn't take it Earth Day, so we can take the paints and other stuff.
Please don't say the oil's going to the landfill. The oil's going to the convenience center.
To be recycled.
I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, and the container.
Because DEQ will be all over.
So yes, in the container.
In the landfill.
Sorry, I misspoke. Sorry.
That's right across from her house. Be careful.
Right. But the people that came, they said there's ways to save on some stuff to be able to take the stuff that we don't want in our rivers and places to make, you know, to help out. So I put 25. I think that's about what we need. We only lasted not even an hour of $15,000. So
how much of that do you recall, Aaron, was tires and how much was
none of it was tires.
Okay.
All hazardous waste. Tires is separate. If we are approved to do this next year, it'd be on the biannual cycle that we wanted to try to do it, I believe. We would want to look at like the high school. It has a good in and out. People park. They're not in a field. They're not going through other activities that we have. Like we had soccer and a bunch of activities out there. We think it's a lot easier. So we'd have to partner with the school.
And to offset this cost, I mean, I think it's a good thing for the county to offer because we don't have a lot of places to recycle stuff here, but you could charge $10 per car or $5 per car and, you know, at least get a little bit of money back out of that. So you don't want to necessarily continue to do it just free anytime if you want to offset some of the costs. But there were 200 and some cars last time.
Easy.
Yeah, so.
And I, we probably turned away 150? At least, so.
And we made them show residency, too, because we only took flew that.
They had to show us a driver's license, so it was only residents. Even tires, we're only taking tires for residents, too. So if you're not a resident, you know, we're not taking other counties. We're not spending our money on other people. We're not in the county, so. I mean, we had, yeah. And then, so my CIP request for the year, it's a playground expansion. It's an ADA accessible piece of equipment. Do you put a Pleasant Grove? Currently, I think I spoke, there's only one piece, I believe, in the county, and it's at Central Elementary School. Not really accessible to everybody in the county. I think it's something that we should look at.
Absolutely.
The only thing we have is the Eastern Trailhead at the park, which is technically classified as ADA accessible dog park, but nothing that a kid can play on. And the next thing is the spray park at Pleasant Grove Park. The county wants something. They've said it. They wanted a pool or something. We don't have money for a pool. Pools are expensive. Spray park is a much better option, I think, to start with. You can start with one piece. You can start with two pieces. Plan it to grow it. You know what I'm saying? But anybody can use the spray park. Not anybody can use a pool. You have to know how to swim kind of to use a pool. Anybody can go out here and get wet and have fun. Any kind of kid. I just think it's a, from my opinion, for right now, it's a better option than a pool.
It's only for children.
Huh?
It's only for children?
No, adults. No.
Oh,
anybody.
I go with Olivia to the spray park.
And that's what I said. Anybody can use this.
Yeah.
Where's the spray park?
Yeah. Come at Shenandoah Crossing.
Get a garden.
And there's quite a few in town in Charlottesville. There's two or three in Charlottesville. But I just think it, personally, I think it's a better option. And then that's something you can build on.
It's fun for all ages.
And you don't have to have all the money up front. Start small.
Get a garden hose, right?
Well, yeah. But it's going to be a little more than that. But, other than that, I think that's all I have. Are there any questions?
Will there be a beer garden next to this one? You'll be getting sprayed then, huh?
No. But so we may work on that for the county fair.
How much was it total? $150.
$50 for the
last two. Last two were $200. The CIP stuff.
Okay, that was CIP. Okay. Yep, right. And the other stuff was
$10,000. Go to the budget balance sheet.
Add it up on yours.
He's got it on the budget balance sheet.
Here.
Go to budget balance sheet. Scroll down.
All right. We got it, Aaron.
Scroll. Keep on going. Keep on. There you go.
There it is.
$71,000
is what the county
wasn't
had.
Included.
Not including the CIP.
Yeah.
$200,000 CIP and $71,000 there.
Okay.
But remember, $49,000 of that was the fence around the soccer fields.
Right.
So.
That, yeah.
And we just reduced that too.
We could. There's a berm on the back of the field.
That big hill,
you just run the fence up to that. They can't drive over the berm. So.
You know, that's what I would. I didn't even think about that.
They would have tried to because four wheelers.
Okay.
Oh, this is parks.
Under what? Where were you looking?
I was looking for parks.
Good.
Yeah, it's right there. Scroll over to the 71, Eric.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm not sure what you're asking for, Mrs. There.
You want me to open the budget?
71,
no, that's okay.
So the list of that stuff, go back to Parks and Rec budget. Okay, the list of that stuff, if you go down, when you look at your budget, anything that's different between the blue column and the red column is where the differences are. This was fully funded. Keep going down. This is fully funded because he asked for 17. That's what I put in mine. 11.8, same. Keep going down. Asked for 8. That's what's in there. 2,500. That's same. These are the same.
Keep going.
That's the same. That's the same. That's the same. That's the same. Keep going. That one's $500 less. That was the office supplies you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
This one is $500 less. That's the staff.
So
just look at the difference between those two, between the baseline plus column and the co-ed column.
And go down to the big one where all the equipment
is. The high dollar ones.
Yeah, right there, the site improvements.
Keep going. We got a couple more. The fence is last, yeah.
Then they kind of, those last three are what were on his list.
My presentation kind of goes in order down my budget. So that's why I try to give you the lines. If you were kind of looking on here, you could find me.
Just easier to see up there than.
Yeah.
And I don't think you have the numbers on the side where I put your lines. I don't think you have those.
Okay.
Any other questions I can answer?
Oh, those were line numbers?
Mm-hmm. Not on that. I looked at that too.
Whenever we print that, yeah, print line numbers.
Thank you. Yep. All right. Thank you all. Appreciate
close
it.
Close that out. Just go back to the main budget. Go back to green tab.
So, Tom.
Yes.
Open up the top. And close off the button bar. Okay. So, the 27th, I think, is when they have to set the tax rate for advertising for the public hearings.
Yeah.
Something about right.
I think it's the 27th. Yeah. So you've got, check and see, but pull up the website, please. But check and see, because you've got to set a tax rate. So you've got to start talking about what things in here you want to add, delete, change, whatever. Remember, you advertise 94.9. That has $902,000 worth of revenue in it. Go to the red tab, Eric. Change it back to my 92.3. Just copy those on top of that one. Go back to the front. So there's actually $97,000 worth of excess revenue available right now in my budget at 92.3. That was $47,000 that Mr. Sheridan found in additional property values, and that was $50,000 we got the other day when we got the state estimated sales tax figures for fiscal 19.
$50,000?
Yes, we projected $100,000 less than what they're projecting, so we bumped it up by $50,000. We still want to leave a cushion there, but we bumped it up by $50,000, so that's where the 97 came from. Remember, you don't have any funding in schools yet other than the increased state funding for schools, and you don't have full funding in there for necessary insurance or pay raises or things like that, or whatever else you may want, personnel positions. And you've got a bunch of personnel positions. Go to personnel, please. You've got a bunch of personnel positions out there that you have to look at, too. The ones that are in the budget, highlight these three, please. Yeah, color them something. Color them green so they know they're in the budget. The other ones on that, and some of the bottom ones are on there, too, but the other ones on that page are some of those are not in the budget as well. Most of those down there, not the principal planner, those are.
Those.
So some of those personnel positions on there, bad color to pick. some of those other personnel positions under go up, please. On there are not funded in the budget yet, and you know you've heard from Ms. Mabe for social services, I heard from the sheriff on his, and then just now Parks and Rec, the kitchen safe serve go down, safe serve and Parks and Rec maintenance. So those are things you're going to have to start talking about, but you need to figure out, like I say every year, either where you want to end up and back into it, or fund what you think you need and then end up with that. But one way or the other, we need to start hammering down. Do you all have any questions about specific stuff that we can research before your Wednesday meeting next week about any specific topics? And Eric, pull up the slide that Mr. O'Brien asked about.
Oh, pardon me.
How much wasn't? Mm-hmm. About 2.9 million.
Yeah. No, if you go, well.
Was it?
No, keep on going. Wherever you put that slide, that stacked bar chart, remember where your revenues?
Oh, yeah. This is.
Yeah. So, Mr. O'Brien, you had asked about kind of looking at comparisons across the different counties and their revenue sources. Eric, close that stuff, left stuff off. And then move it back over. Okay, so.
Can you zoom in a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can see most of them. These are the area counties, the ones that are around us, not counting Albemarle and City of Charlottesville. These are the other 14 counties that we compare to because they're between 20 and 30,000 in population. That's the big master chart we have all the time. So what he did is he took the various revenue sources, so you can go down a little bit so you can see these, the various revenue sources and stack them up. So you can see where's Buckingham's revenue come from? Well, real estate property is their highest source, but it's the highest source for everybody.
it's getting closer in counties like Madison.
No, here's one thing you have to look at. Look at the bottom, because they're not lining up correctly in the top. You're looking at Madison, it's not Madison. Look down below, it's Louisa.
Okay, Louisa, I'm sorry. Yeah, Louisa, yeah.
Yep.
So, but real property is that light yellow-orange cross there. And you can see it's the biggest source of revenue for all of us. But in some counties, it gets a lot different. It gets lined up differently because they have other revenue sources. And if you go down and look at the master chart with all of our revenue sources, we are way higher on using real estate and personal property as our sources of income than other counties are, because we don't have a lot of the other things that other counties have.
Where are we?
Yeah, where's Fluvanna?
Where are we?
Did you put...
That's what I was looking for, was Fluvanna.
You had it on there before, did you?
Unhide that stuff.
We're so bad, we're not even on the chart.
close those off now.
Had to blow our own chart.
No, I don't know what.
We're on that there.
Okay, just slide it over.
There we are. Mm-hmm.
So you can see, in relationship to some counties, like the Louisas and others, we have a lot more from our percentage-wise from our real estate tax.
I think the chart's great. I would say do it as a percentage of, because you know when you match
percentage of income, sure,
yeah,
no problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can.
Doesn't really tell you right there.
Oh, okay. Just right-click on the slide down the bottom corner. Just right-click. No, on the slide itself, Eric.
On the slide. Right.
No.
Where are you?
Let me
where?
Do it.
Here.
Let me do it.
Here, move. Up, up, up. Yeah.
Thanks.
You can take that chair. It's warm, too. So let's go. Okay. So there's, as a percentage... So we're 55%, and you can see all these other ones are down here, way down. The only one that's close to us is Powhatan, and
how about Goosland? Goosland has a lot of
Powhatan's got local. A similar tax rate to us, though, too.
Goosland? No, right here, sir. This is a real estate. Oh, that's Buckingham.
That's
sorry,
Buckingham.
Goosland's only at 42%.
That's Cumberland. That's Cumberland.
Goosland is at 50%, sorry. 51%, 50.5%. So we're at 54.5%, I think is what it is for ours. Let's see if it pulls up the number. No, it's not pulling up the number. We have to go back to the chart up top to show it. But anyway, you can see, if you just run the line across from here at 50,000, or 50%, there's only one, that's Powhatan, two, New Kent, that are that far up on real estate, and just because they have other revenue sources. Now, sometimes because they got King's Dominion, you know, or they've got a nuclear power plant or something like that. But but again, most of them have other revenue sources like meals tax or lodging tax or a business personal property tax. B-poll tax or business license fees or things like that.
What's the sort of light blue, the next one up?
This one?
Yeah.
That's public service.
The public service corporations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so if you look at Louisa.
Yeah, Louisa's really high because of the nuclear power plants. But you can see for us, it's a big deal for us too, because that's Tenasca. And others, but Tenasca's $2.7 million for us.
And you can see, the blue when you go back to the other one even more to see how large the Louisa revenue portion
is. Purple? What's a purple?
The way up top here? Or the purple?
Yeah. Go down, yes.
Okay, that color, yeah.
Personal property general.
Yeah.
You know, when...
we'll print this out and give you a copy of it, and we'll actually print the percentages. We'll have a cheat. Well, I can do it right here.
Well, take that personal property. That's an example of how, changing your time
depreciation, absolutely.
Depreciation.
And you might be able to then adjust your... residents' personal property, if you do that, and still be a net gain, because our personal property for residents is right about midline of all the counties around us. I mean, we're not real high or real low. We're just right in the middle. But you might be able to adjust business personal property down a little bit, and that down a little bit, and offset it with the depreciation schedule from...
You can pie chart each one by category. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So let's turn this on.
Don.
Yeah.
When Tenasca came here, it was the second plant that wanted to come, right?
Yes.
And where was it going?
I thought it was along 53 someplace, a little bit off 53.
I think it was off 53.
53.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They were going to use my neighborhood?
It was on the other side of the road.
Yeah, I know. Down that long road there. Where the heck is...
You could make it more money, right?
Let's see.
People are afraid of nuclear plants then.
I wasn't a nuclear plant.
Mm-mm. It wasn't? No,
no. No, it was conventional.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So we'll... You can't see it here, obviously, because it's squished it down. But we'll print this out so it's got the data down below. And the chart up above, we'll make it, put it on a big 11 by 17 sheet, and we can give that each of you so that you'll have it. Because if we just take this chart now and just, come on, there we go, and lower it down, you can see that you'll be able to see that, but also the data table's right down below, so you can look at actual raw numbers too. And we can change this to percentages down here if you want, so we'll give you both. But you can run across there and look that, you know, the biggest personal property along here is clearly Louisa. I mean, the business personal
public
property.
Public service corporation,
yeah. I mean, because of Dominion, the like the South Anna nuclear power plant.
Buckingham, the light tan line.
Buchanan?
Oh, is it?
That's coal.
No. Maybe it's Carroll.
Right here?
No, in the middle. Go over to
this one. Oh,
that's coal.
Yeah.
That's coal. What's it? If you scroll down, it's got like some like coal, gas, something like that.
Coal, oil, and gas taxes. Yeah. $15 million in revenue. Wouldn't you like to have that?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We could get a uranium mine.
That's what I'm
about. You want to start an outcry? Let's start that rumor. Please don't print that. But anyway, we'll print this chart out to show you. But that's based on percentage, 100%. And when you look across, you can compare the various ones. If you want to look and see just what the raw numbers are, you can look and see that, you know, for rental and sale of property, you can see the amount that each county gets across there over the course of a year. And this is 2017 data.
2017
is the most updated year that we've got.
June 30th,
date.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yep. And we can, we have most of these we have modeled, and we can pull up anytime you want them during meetings to look at the comparisons if you want. There you go, Eric. Thanks.
So where to?
So go back to the main budget, please, just and go back to green and close off the top, please. So rather than sit here and kind of look at each other kindly, is there anything down in any of the departments that you had questions off that we've been looking at that you want us to answer now and or research before next week?
Or do you want to look at the budget balance sheet either, too, to right. see what the lump sum
are
cuts
we
are?
Our presentation?
That's mm-hmm. it. Oh. Yeah. Well, we're not going to do public works tonight because it's really just flat, held flat because we're with the changes. So we're not going to really do any more presentations.
So you're going to give us one sheet like you usually do?
It's in your book. Go to budget balance worksheet, please. What tab is it? Does anybody have a book?
I do.
Yeah. Just go. Kelly, will you look on and see what budget balance worksheet is?
Just look at the front page.
Oh.
I think it's second one.
There is B tab.
Budget
tab B.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tab B in your book, and it has this, and it shows what is in my budget as far as tax rates. On top, and then your advertised budget, but you go down. So, you know, it shows anything that's not in my budget is here in red. Mm-hmm. And it shows it with the parentheses. And saying, they asked, like, Jessica, can you explain your intern? Where you are?
Oh, right
back there.
Can you explain your internship? Internship, like in hers.
Mm-hmm. So the internship kind of serves two purposes. And what I was trying to do was come up with a creative way, to get some project work done on behalf of the county and specifically personnel related. We've struggled a little bit with staffing and workload in my office, and I know you heard it from my predecessor as well. And this was one way to do it really cost effectively, but also give someone in the community an opportunity to come in and work with county staff, get their hands in the local government, and just provide an opportunity that wasn't there before. So for the minimal cost of about $2,000 roughly, the idea was to bring in a college student in the fall for a semester and have them work with me on a specified project that I would develop. Their hours would be paid from the county. They would not be benefit eligible, but they would also receive college credit if they were enrolled in a program in one of the colleges here around. This probably would be a pilot program to see if we could then expand in future years in other departments as well. But again, this was just a way to get some needed project work done, and also open our doors to county residents that may not have an opportunity otherwise.
And it only cost $2,000?
All for $2,000.
Yeah.
And they work a full day all the time?
Oh, no.
No.
You like part-time.
Yeah, but it's only for a semester.
It's for 3 months,
just a stipend.
About 15 hours a week.
I mean, I was an intern.
15 or so hours a week, because
yeah, you work full time
too. So
this is just like coming in for, you know, 4 hours a day, or for you know, different things. But
she said 15 hours a week.
About 15 hours a week, because they're also in classes and other things as well.
Mr. Brown.
I know Carol Carr's been pushing for volunteerism, and and I don't know if any of those types of activities are advertised as part of the volunteerism efforts or not. And I'm not suggesting that would be appropriate for it, but just it's a general question.
Yeah, well, she's got her next meeting on Friday afternoon, so we'll certainly mention this, because it would be great to have some internship opportunities, even if unpaid sometimes, but definitely paid ones for the college kids and stuff like that. But, you know, for $10,000 or $15,000, you could do lots of internships during the summer.
Sure,
But the problem with doing those is you really have to have a plan in advance to do something with them. Otherwise, they're just a pain in the butt.
Because
they don't get anything out of it. So
you also have somebody. You need to have somebody that can manage the
program. Absolutely.
Otherwise, it won't.
And we might be able to go after grants to find some place where we can get grant money from to support, you know, scholarships or internships for.
Wouldn't schools give portion of the money for to get one of their students in an intern position, and we pay some of it? So UVA used to do that for education.
So is there anybody else here tonight that's got budget stuff up there that has questions on their budget or wants to talk about areas? I know Debbie's got some stuff we need to go through. Any other departments that got stuff you want to highlight or point out? So let's go to the fire and rescue budget.
What we put our time, is it 8 o'clock?
Yeah, you're gonna have to. You either need to finish before 8 or extend, but I'm hoping you'll finish before 8.
Oh, it's 35 to 8.
Hope is a good thing.
And you guys gotta have a sheet with you all the time to know what tab it is. You have to have the sheet to know to tell them what tab it is. Any tab.
35 to 8.
Okay. so tab 35 in your binders if you've got it, and then. There are a number of things that folks have asked for on the fire and rescue budget that probably need some attention. Where's my sheet? Doggone it. That water rescue truck that water rescue is asking for is $186,000, and I know we have to maintain good equipment, but in our county, can we afford to pull up another $186,000 truck, or afford not to? So you really need to ask some questions about that. There are some of the water rescue boats that we think are only used for training and aren't used for actual operations. Water rescue has an airboat. I'm not sure that there's any place much you can use it. The lake, you're not supposed to use it at all, but maybe they use it for emergencies. But and we don't have too many
rivers.
We don't have too many swamps here. But ambulance 49 that a rescue we have on the budget. I'm not sure we necessarily need that, but you could certainly save some money by remounting it rather than buying a whole new truck. And a few years ago, we thought we couldn't remount, but apparently you can now. So you'd remount the body onto a new base.
We remount one of them already.
We did.
A few years ago, yes.
We did.
So you could save a bunch of money there.
But what's the ambulance cost?
Debbie, go to the CIP, please.
But those were the sort of CIP conversations that we discussed as during his debt as well, too, just because of
it might have to the
amount that was involved there.
Go to the, actually.
So the 275, I think, was the Flu Banner Rescue Ambulance.
Rolled out.
Blow it. 282.
Yep.
Is the ambulance. Mm-hmm. The tanker 10 for Paul Meyer is 550. I've heard from different sources that those are usually around 300 plus.
The tankers are about 4.
Okay.
Yeah, it was mentioned that some of these numbers were a little bit inflated, but yeah.
Well, there are lots of add-ons.
Yeah.
Lots of extra equipment.
The Chief One car. He's bought a new chief car down at Fork Union, but I'm not sure why. And maybe that could be reassigned, but that was a big buy as well.
Do we know why they're replacing the car?
Just because it's on the schedule. It's just on the schedule for replacement. It's a 2008 model, and it's just on replacement schedule. And I'm not suggesting we don't need a new Chief One car, but we just bought one for, was it a Fork Union?
It wasn't supposed to be a command vehicle, but they turned it into one, yes.
Yeah. Part of the problem, we told all the fire and rescue folks that we were going to talk about some of these things tonight so they could be here if they want to chime in on these discussions, and you may need them next week, too. We'll tell them the same thing. But we really need to have a hardcore, no-kidding, honest discussion about what we need and what we can afford. And I'm not an expert in fire and rescue, but Debbie is, and lots of the other our fire and rescue folks are, and there's a lot of discussion, a lot of differences of opinion, but they need to present that and put it on the table and make their case so that you all can decide. Because some of the stuff just, I don't think you're going to be able to get to this year, but you need to hear whether that's a reasonable thing to put it off or not to buy it at all. Some of the companies, it concerns me that when we're buying a replacement vehicle, we're not really replacing a vehicle. We're just putting a new vehicle in service, and they're repurposing the other vehicle, so now they're just adding to their fleet. And that means more insurance, more maintenance costs, more storage costs. They're growing out of their facilities they are because they keep keeping extra vehicles. And these are all kind of big rock discussions where there's lots of nuance to it, where it may not be the exact whole story, the exact story, but that's the kind of discussion that needs to be had. The Palmyra Fire has pickup trucks, but they don't even use them, do they?
Hardly ever.
Yeah.
And I've had their members come to me and say they're a waste sitting there.
Well, I mean, and if they're sitting there, maybe we could repurpose them to use for public parks and rec or public works or whatever. The hazmat trailer, I think they're asking for a replacement on that in the coming years, mm-hmm. next year.
Yep.
I
think why?
Just because a time frame. But it doesn't need to be replaced.
Okay.
It's perfectly fine. So hardly ever used.
Right.
They're following a logical sequence of putting some on when it's 12 years old or 100,000 miles, and then it gets there. But,
so there's certain standards that says you should replace it at this amount, but just because it's at that specific year doesn't necessarily mean that maybe it needs to be replaced at that, or maybe we just can't do it at this year. Maybe it's got another couple of years left in it. So
and the fire rescue folks are really good about telling us what's absolute mandatory, like the SCBAs. We don't have a choice. We got to find those are life-saving things. We got to find it. But they were asking for hydraulic tools, but now I've heard that they've got another set of hydraulic tools off of grants or someplace else.
Right. One's been bought, and they're trying to fund the other.
Yeah. Flu Banner Rescues. I've heard that they're trying to purchase a chase car.
What, a chase car?
Yeah. And I'm not sure what they're going to do with the chase car if they're taking a chase car out there.
What a chase car is?
Yeah.
Basically, in bigger departments, if they run BLS trucks, they will have what's called a chase car, and they'll have an ALS provider on that car.
Okay.
And they will basically chase the ambulance. And if they need an ALS provider, they will get on that ambulance and they will go. They want to put one ALS person and drive around, but we don't need the chase car. We need an ambulance.
Yes.
A staffed ambulance. Not an ambulance. We need a staffed ambulance.
Right.
If they're in a chase car, who are they going to chase? There's no ambulance going on except for DRT. And DRT's already ALS in every rig.
Okay. I understand that they would go and meet the ambulance.
Right.
If there was an ambulance there.
Right.
But they don't need to meet DRT because DRT is already ALS.
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. And they're looking at a $30,000 vehicle just to drive around.
My granddaughter was being born early.
Right.
And they were going to have a car to meet them to make sure the baby was born. They would have the right kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
That's what.
Yeah, you definitely want the right provider, but your one 24/7 guaranteed ambulance is the DRT contract ambulance, and they are always ALS rigs. Yes. And so there's no sense having a chase car to meet them unless you need more providers.
Right.
But anyway, they may buy it out of their own money, but if they buy it out of their own money, then it's being something that county's going to have to insure and maintain and provide funding for. So in the world of limited resources, we have to be really collectively looking at what the county needs rather than individual squads and companies.
So our new chief will be able to figure all that out.
Well, that's the aim. Yes, ma'am. That's the aim. Lake Monticello, it does a fantastic job, always have, but they're struggling trying to cover day times, Monday through Friday.
Oh.
And you guys met with them today. Mm-hmm. The problem is we need to know what we need in Flavanna County. What is the mandatory requirement? Do we have to have two ALS ambulances 24/7? Is that what it takes to cover our county? Whatever it is, let's find out what we need and collectively agree to that. And then say, okay, do we have the resources to do that? Right now, you have one guaranteed ambulance 24/7. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Lake Monticello, who's really good at covering nights and weekends, but not so good during the day because daytimes are hard for any volunteer agency. And Flavanna Rescue only staffs up an ambulance like Friday nights for 4 or 5 hours or 8 hours.
And how many people do we have in Flavanna Rescue? How many active?
Seven or eight. One who runs. Tracy.
The one who runs on 4 hours on Friday night.
Gloria drives sometimes, but didn't. But anyway, not very many. It's going to take some prodding to energize this. Now, I really recommend, and that's why I've had Debbie contact all the agencies to let them know, I really recommend if you want to have a serious talk about fire and rescue, you either wait till you hire a fire and rescue chief, or you have a work session with fire and rescue representatives here and banter back and forth, and everybody's got to stop worrying about their rice bowl, they got to worry about the county's bowl and figure out what's best for us collectively.
So to your point of you got to look at what's good for the county and not individual requests from that standpoint, and also given some of the numbers and some of the certain needs and the reticence that there was towards hiring a chief at this point in time, it seems like there's an opportunity to put a budget wedge in for, and I would just say it's MRR for both vehicles, which includes dead and repairs.
Sure.
And then we leave it to them as a group to say, you know, we're basically saying to them, look, we're going to give you $200,000 a year towards vehicles. You figure out your budget as to which vehicles you're going to need and buy as a group, and then you're funding out of that portion for debt, and you're funding repairs out of that portion for debt. I mean, out of that portion as well too. And some years they may end up, you know, having less debt, and so therefore they have, you know, some more that they're putting into repairs, or vice versa. And maybe they come back to us every couple of years and say, well, we need another $50,000 in our MRR or whatever. But we're not getting hit by these big replacement costs here that are really too hefty.
And, it's every year.
We don't have money in our CIP.
Right.
We cannot afford to take a lot of money out of our CIP.
I'll tell you that I don't believe the FRA is capable of getting the pot of money from the county and
working together
collectively and doling it out.
Isn't somehow that really? I mean, between emergency management and the chiefs. Really their responsibility to figure out. I mean, if they can't figure that out, then we need to hire a chief.
And that's FRA. Right.
You know? That's the point.
That's, I mean, the FRA is supposed to be there to discuss the budget.
Right.
I have not had them talk about the budget once in an FRA meeting in any regard. So it's like, why are we not doing that? You know, yeah. I mean, why are we not sitting down as the group and saying, do you really need this truck right now?
Well,
but they don't.
If they know that we're not going to go in and say, fund Fork Union or fund Lake Monticello from that standpoint, we're giving them a pot of money, they have to do that.
Well, you've got three corporations, that's part of the problem, and you've got four different fire companies and two different rescue squads and a water rescue squad, and all of them are kingdoms to themselves. And God love these people, these folks volunteer in our community and take care of all of us. But it is also a matter of money, and it's also a matter of resources to support them. I would love to have, we've been preaching this for years, trying to get some incentive programs to make it worthwhile for volunteers to stay volunteering, because it's a lot cheaper than buying paid staff, but it's darn near impossible.
Do we anywhere have a model where this can happen and we can use that model to build
We can learn people from the mistakes that happened in Albemarle and Louisa and Buckingham and other places, but everybody talks about that all the time, but what it takes is the leader out front that has the authority to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of hesitation because the sense is that the leader, if he's the wrong leader, is going to be, you know, could end up, as Mr. Pullen put it, you know, driving a wedge in such a way that
absolutely
lose more volunteers. And so it seems like a very critical decision, but also one that, I mean, personally, I would think that before they can even get to the point where they as a group can agree with the leader, they need to start working together, right?
But I think it's going to take a leader to get them to do that, and like you said, a leader with the authority to, and it's going to be critical, but I think, I mean, from what Mr. Nichols and I have talked about, that, we absolutely know how vital the right person is going to be, and I know I'm very invested in finding the right person.
Excuse me, may I have a motion to extend the meeting, please?
I move that we extend the meeting until 10.
Oh. Motion is being made. Do I have a second?
Yes.
May I have a vote, please? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay.
Was he saying I'm wrong?
Chair votes aye. We have a motion to extend.
And the blank was four in favor, second non-opposed, and Mr. Sheridan asked.
It just seems to me like the way I'm hearing, it seems almost impossible to find a chief or someone to, it would take them a year or more just to know what's going on. I don't know. Who's going to guide him, he or she?
I think if you get the right person, and you get them working with other chiefs out there, with the individual chiefs, I mean, if those chiefs have a vested interest and if they're on board with who's being hired.
You have to bring a big stick with them.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. Think back 7 years ago when the bull in the china shop came on board, me. I didn't know anything about county government. I just came in to try to do the right thing, and I was experienced in leadership, and my last command was 2,500 staff, and I had facilities in two states. I knew how to lead and do stuff, but I didn't know local government.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to just say the heck with it and decide to rip the bandage off and make change now. Or you can collectively work together and do it over the course of 2 or 3 years and make it painful for 3 years to do it. But or somebody has to be on the point on that,
How we going to interview someone? First of all, we have to sit down and really itemize it.
Sure, of course. We already have the position description written.
Yeah, and then you're going to have the right questions to dig at whether that person has those.
That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Getting someone that.
There's a process that we go through, and I wouldn't treat this too much differently than we do any.
Just like we did economic development. We actually had presentations from them, and it was
great. The whole process geared towards what specifically we're looking for in a position.
Well, I can assure you this. The absolute certainty is that if you hire a fire and rescue chief, that fire and rescue chief will not make everyone happy.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know that.
So just absolutely, it's going to be that way. And I don't know how to get over the hump with this issue that we've been talking about for years, that Louisa's gone through, and Charlottesville, and Albemarle's gone through, and this county's gone through. Everybody's gone through, and we know what some of their, foibles and what some things didn't work. And we can do better on it now because we've had experience from others. But you still got to sometime head down that road. And I respect all those chiefs in all the different squads and companies, but they've got to somehow collectively be at the table and figure out what's best for the county writ large rather than individual companies and squads. And we just don't have enough resources to do everything.
Well, we don't have the resources to do that every single year, that's for sure.
No.
And so we need to know what do we really need to do every year?
And when they come and ask for $1.5 million to replace the ladder truck,
Well, that's what they plan on doing. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they, mm-hmm. you know, step number one is you've got to organize what your real long-term needs are, and that's a budgeting decision. And
right.
if you can't make that as the FRA, then, well, right. then you need a chief that has to make it for you, right? I mean,
right.
that seems to be
exactly.
like a logical conclusion.
So maybe sometime, if you want to ask these kinds of questions, we get the FRA, the appointed FRA members, the ones who are actually members. Others can sit in the other seats, but have the FRA sitting across the table from you and banter through this discussion. You know, and not everybody get mad about this. These, you know, some of the stuff I've listed are beliefs, not absolute, concrete, 100% facts. But they need to be dismissed or disputed if they're not facts. Do we really need to buy that $550,000 tanker, or can we buy a $400,000 tanker?
It seems to me we, in the budget we have a wedge for $200,000, you know, for the
for CRM, right.
For the chief, right, and
for the 100,000
fire rescue chief.
Yeah, we also have a wedge for 200,000 for CRM.
No, we have nothing in there for fire and rescue apparatus right now.
So I mean that could be a starting point for because in this
go
budget
back to the
cycle,
budget. Tell me what the number is in CIP.
Well,
in
I'm just
CIP.
Putting yeah. my confidence in the chief is coming because you can sit them around this table with me all day long. I don't
right.
know what I would say or ask.
Yeah, and we've
and
got lots of really good, competent, capable chiefs here, but
yeah.
they've got a. It's hard because they all have other jobs and they've got time, and you know it's not like they come here every day to their job and can have
mm-hmm.
meetings and stuff. They've got to figure out, you know, time to meet and stuff, but. There are lots of pros and cons to hiring a fire chief, but there are lots of pros and cons to buying an ambulance or a fire truck or SCBAs or whatever.
Or having standardization too with everything
right.
that we buy.
Right.
We shouldn't be buying, you know,
buying
this gear for that
over
squad
over
and this different
yeah.
gear for that
yeah.
squad when we can buy it collectively.
So we're not functioning as one fire company.
No. You've got three corporations: Lake, Fluvanna Fire, Fluvanna Rescue, and within. Fluvanna Rescue is one. You've got two stations. Within Fluvanna Fire, you've got three companies. And within Fluvanna Lake Rescue, you've got Fire Company, Rescue Squad, and
Water
Rescue Squad. And so you've got three, four, five, six, seven, at least seven different entities, even though it's three corporations. And all of them have their needs.
How difficult will it be to get to?
Well, yes, except that I don't know how you'd ever change to take away the corporate structure of Lake Monticello. They're never going to agree to merge into one big countywide. They're a nonprofit corporation, and God love them. They service our county just like Fluvanna mm-hmm. Fire and Fluvanna Rescue. So there's not really necessarily a need to merge them into one corporation. How you do that is you merge them into having one boss. Now they have their own corporate structure for their filings and finances and things like that, but for standardization, for policy, for equipment, you've got a boss. They'd have their own chiefs just like they do now, but you have a boss.
And you're going to have some people that are not going to agree with that chief being the chief.
Right. My directors,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I got four directors. My directors don't always agree with me, but
right.
and ultimately I have to make decisions, and so collectively we move forward. The chief would be the same way. But this is a discussion best had with those senior fire and rescue representatives sitting in front of you so you can hash this back and forth and throw the dirty laundry on the table. Not in a bad way, just let's talk about it.
On the CIP side, the only money we've allocated for fire and rescue is the SCUBA.
The SCBA is right.
Yeah.
Well, that and the heart monitor replacement. We left $100,000 there and $100,000 for the SCBAs. Hoping that the grant will come through.
Yeah, because if the grant doesn't come through, then we're on the hook for the full
$880,000.
And I reached out to FEMA and asked them, and they said they are right now looking at May, June to start awarding. So it could be as early as May, June if we're one of the first awarded. And I'm that
good.
I'm being positive. Or later, but that's the first that they're going to start awarding is May, June.
But at the end of the day, whatever the board approves at this point, I mean, we don't have it in there. So if we find out in May, June that the budget's approved and we don't have the $800,000 in there,
mm-hmm.
we're going to come back to you.
Control over the budget line item. I mean, we have control.
Oh, yeah.
Over that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right. The Fire and Rescue Association was created in 1994 by the Board of Supervisors as a body to recommend financial things,
mm-hmm.
decisions about fire and rescue to the Board of Supervisors. It was modified in 2014 to add policy making across the enterprises that's been ignored since then, but that was, they put it in the policy and you all adopted it. Right. And frankly, that's what we ought to have the FRA doing. And when you have a fire chief, that would even be more strengthened. But the other thing is the burn building. The burn building is, remember, $480,000 grant. It will not pay for the entire thing because it can't pay for land acquisition. It can't pay for prep. It can't pay for a bunch of different.
Well, no, some AE.
Okay, can't pay for a lot of stuff. So we think it's going to be about $700,000 for a burn building. All the fire companies get aid to localities money from the state. It's about $200,000.
Well, they get about $85,000 a year, but there's money sitting there carrying over year after year.
And the companies can use that to outfit this or do that and stuff. Maybe this time, maybe that money needs to come back in and pay for the extra on the burn building to build it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what's more important? And maybe some money needs to come back in and pay for towards the SCBAs or towards the heart monitors or whatever. But every dollar that we dedicate to fire and rescue needs to be on the table and known by everybody, but it's not. Okay, there are sources of funds there, and we need to have that all wrapped in. If somebody gets a big grant, well, then maybe they don't need all this money. Now, that shouldn't dissuade them from going after grants. It should just say, well, gosh, we've really helped the taxpayers because we got a grant, and now we can use this money for something else. It's a really difficult discussion to have, but this is all about, Mr. Sheridan, we had a meeting with rescue 6 or 8 months ago, and he kept saying, hey folks, this is all about what's good for Fluvanna County. Right. Yeah. And that's where we have to stay over and over and over. And I do not mean to preach about, like, I know fire and rescue. I'm talking about my beliefs on these things I've heard, and we need to have a good, collective, honest discussion. It's been really painful to do that, partly because it's people have different lives and different jobs and don't work here every day. Partly because they want to do really good, partly because they're used to doing things the way they've always done it, partly because we just don't have a lot of money. So, anyway, one of these times, it's going to take some work. Again, the last time we did a big work session with the FRA,
a couple of years ago,
was
a year and a half ago.
Didn't really result in anything.
Right.
No. And again, you need leadership in the field. Mm-hmm. Not telling everybody what to do on how to dress their folks, but standardizing performance
and equipment
and training and making sure
policies.
That, you know, okay, really standing here in front of you and saying, hey, you know, there is absolutely a reason why we have to have this truck this year and not this year and not that year. And there's always going to be differences of opinion. But you haven't empowered Debbie to do that as the emergency management coordinator, and we need emergency management. The county has to have that. And I don't know enough about fire and rescue to tell you the answers.
Well, that's what you're doing for. Finally, making headway with training.
Tell the board about that, please.
So I've been really trying to, because right now they kind of one like Ken Store will have a firefighter one class, and then the lake will have a firefighter one class. And last year they spent between those two classes, it was about $15,000 for the same class twice. And I was like, guys, you're holding the same class twice, and your money is not going any further. And they've been fighting me for a year, and they finally just this last month agreed to let me start a training committee, one person from each station, getting together and trying to standardize that, you know, for this year, so that they can look at the calendar and know in July this is a class that's being held in.
And it may be at this station or that station or that station, but everybody will know about it.
And you need to take the day off from work to attend or whatever. It's in advance, because also what they're doing now is, oh hey, we're having this class this weekend. Oh, I'm working this weekend. I can't get off. It's already Wednesday, you know. And they're not giving anybody. They're not advertising it. They're not. So I'm making headway on that, and we're going to have our first training committee meeting and going to try to standardize basically also what certifications, you know, like if you're a lieutenant, these are the certifications you should have. If you're going to hold a captain's position, here's the certifications you should have. And then I'm going to hold those classes within the county so they can have those certifications.
And that shouldn't be a different standard from company to company.
And it
county.
Is.
No. It just should not be.
And it is.
But it is. It's wildly different from company to company.
Yeah, every company does their own thing. And that's what I'm saying. I mean,
we can't afford to be that different.
There's so much in this head that I want to do.
Yeah,
but, you know, I just can't do it. So,
first emergency person didn't have enough.
No, she did all the other stuff, but couldn't do the technical stuff.
And she does know that.
I want to do stuff, but like I said, it's taken me a year to get them on board with the training committee, and you know, they were like, you know, hey, we each have our own training officers. And I'm like, how's that working for you? Because you just spent $15,000 for the same class.
Hard to feel.
And, you know, and it, yeah, and they were like,
working for you.
And yeah. they wanted to say it's working fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you guys are having firefighter one and firefighter two. There are a million classes out there, and you're not getting beyond firefighter one and firefighter two for these guys.
And people are saying, we're covering all the calls, except that we know for a fact
they're not
when their ambulances are not staffed. Because we track it through 911 and fire engines as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's not because they don't want to. It's just the state of the world.
Right.
We want to make sure that we figure out what Savannah County needs, and then you all collectively provide the resource to do that, whether it's through volunteer or augmented this or help that, or maybe, you know, like Debbie's been talking about, you know, on-call pay, where you,
you're an ALS, you stay
in the ambulance, I mean, in the station on-call, and you're getting some, you know, a small stipend amount to do that. It's a lot cheaper than buying a full-time paid person, like by right. $10,000,000
right.
cheaper.
Right.
But it would be an incentive for volunteers to do volunteer work in this day and age.
So the chief is coming on for the 20. Fire chief. We are hiring a fire chief.
If you all say so, then we are.
Then we are hiring. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the wedge is in there. I mean, whether we go down that route or whether we use that money to fund debt for equipment.
What's in there?
You know,
90,000.
I guess that would be the subject of a meeting. Yes, or
yeah. Well, I mean, you're not going to get a collective opinion from the fire and rescue community that's going to give you the answer.
No, but we can have that meeting and then say
you can have the answer, and you're going to get the same answer you got last time. Yes, no, yes, maybe, yes, no, maybe, yes.
Well, either they'll get a fire chief or they'll get some equipment, one or the other.
Well, that's
kind of a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, I know how that answer will go. So
yeah.
But anyway, and there's nothing that people don't want to do good at. I mean, these people want to do good. They're serving our community, but.
But we can't
it's difficult.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my concern would be we've got transition with the county administrator. You know, we throw that in.
Yeah, place. Sure.
You know, but it's tough budget years to begin with. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this is the year that you go in and you say, okay, guys, we're gonna make you do this, but I think this is the year where you could come in and say, look, we're going to pay attention to this issue because we've been talking about it for 7 years now, and it can't go on like this because the resources aren't there. And, you know, we're doing a disservice to the taxpayers by approaching it from this standpoint. And clearly there's, you know, substantial needs, burn buildings, equipment, you know, those kinds of things, training that we need to coordinate. And so we've got to have serious conversations about that. We've put a wedge in place for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to tell you what to do, but we're going to be watching how that conversation goes. And, you know, next year that conversation may be different, right?
I think it's a good and appropriate discussion to have, and we can let the fire and rescue community know that at your March 13th or March 27th work session that we're going to talk fire and rescue.
I think it's a waste of time.
I'm
positive that at the end of the meeting, right, you're going to be more confused than you are now,
right,
but at least you'll heard from everybody. Mm-hmm.
No.
I want people to have a voice, and I am not the only voice. I just happen to be here. We told everybody that we were going to talk about it, and we wanted to make sure that they were aware of that, because I don't run their fire departments and their rescue squads. I don't know how to run those things. So,
I mean, you're either going to talk to them and find out that they have buy-in to it and they want to go that way, or you're going to find out there's the same resistance,
yeah,
but things haven't changed. So,
and I did ask, you know, after that meeting, I asked Mr. Pullen, and I asked, you know, I think John as well too, you know, what thoughts were on a chief, and you know, they said, well, I think, you know, as Mr. Pullen said, it's going to matter who it is. I don't know that there was total resistance against it.
No,
but
yeah.
There's certainly lots.
Well, there's
of
only
concern.
Total
there's
resistance
lots of questions.
From a couple different angles.
Right.
But it's always been 2 years ago when we were going to hire. Partway through the process, as long as it was one of these two people, a couple primary people said, if it's along with one of these two people, then we'll support it. If it's not those two people, then we won't.
Well,
you can't put those preconditions on stuff.
Well, maybe we need to ask them to list what do they see that they would want in a fire.
Well, they've all shot the position description.
Okay.
They've all contributed to creating it.
All of them are just chiefs.
Well, the chiefs got to give to all their to their stations.
And you know they did that.
No, I don't know they did that, but I can't make sure that they give it to every squad member in their units.
You tell them to give it to every squad person.
If I had that kind of authority, I would have solved this 7 years ago.
That's a suggestion. I mean, that's not
Yeah, but good leadership always filters it down to their leadership.
Make sure that your people get, it's a kind with.
Yeah, I mean, I had almost a two-hour conversation with Chief Constantino about this chief's position. And I'll say, it seems and it was kind of shocking, some of the rumors that they have made themselves at the stations. And I talked to him and I said, you know, this is not a dictatorship coming in. He or she, whoever it is, it's not going to be a dictatorship. I said, my vision for it is whoever comes in and says, okay, for instance, we need standard operating procedures in this county, SOPs, and then tell the chiefs, we're going to work on these. Now, if one of the chiefs decides, I'm not going to work with you, I'm going to fight this, then they don't have a say. But I've told them, I said, it will be collaborative. You will have a say. We're going to do SOPs, but you'll have a say in what those SOPs will be.
And the position description is written exactly like that.
Right. So, I mean, that's what I've tried to reassure them. And I think they're more of afraid of this dictatorship, just that, you know, the chief is going to come in and 2 months later is going to slap SOPs down and say, here it is, you're going to do it. And that's not it. That's not the vision. They will always have input. Now, if they choose not to come to the table, can't help that, like the training committee. If they won't come to the table, I can't make them come to the table. Then if they want to complain, they don't have a right because they gave up their voice not coming. So I think that kind of helped. But, I mean, like I said, I think it's, again, if we can just get them on that and show them that they will have a voice, they will still have the power in that, and that's, again, that's my vision, but you know, I mean, so I think he left
feeling better.
Yeah, in a better
spot. Yeah, and this is all about communication for all this.
Right.
I mean, whoever the chief comes in, I am positive that not everybody's going to like the person. That's okay, because that's the same with every hire. But if the person we hire comes in and says, you're going to do it my way or the highway, then we hired the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If the person comes in and says, hey, let's get all the chiefs together. Let's get your frontline firefighters together. Let's talk about what your rescue folks do. And just like Calvin, Mr. Hickman has been going out and working with all his folks in the different departments and getting on his hands and knees and scrubbing stuff and working on this and checking that. That's the only way you can learn what your people are doing. And I'm positive that the new fire chief would come in and do that. We wouldn't want to hire anyone that would be different than that. We want somebody who's going to help us be better tomorrow than we were today, not get rid of anything out of the way we're doing. What we want more than anything is to build up our volunteer force, not to lose it. So,
and a lot of progress has been made. I mean,
yes, I completely agree.
A lot of communication, DRT coming in, you know.
And DRT has had no complaints in the 6 or 8 months since they've been here. It's been great.
Cost recovery.
And on their paperwork, they're seamless.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's been a lot to make that a better relationship.
Well, you remember the full page ads in the Flavanna Review? Like the world was going to end if you did cost recovery, or if the world was going to end if you did, it was something before cost recovery that was. The people had full page ads in the Flavanna Review that were just like, the world's going to end. The world hasn't ended. Yeah. It's evolving.
Right.
But
and your donations are
has had
a little bit less, but
you know the position
still up.
And
but at the same time,
the real story on donations is most of the companies don't have any donations because they're not doing any fundraisers.
Right.
The one that does the fundraisers is like Bingo and and stuff like that is Lake Monticello. And maybe a little bit down, but there's a thousand reasons why.
And
at
the end of the day, the county's picking up more of the expense. They're paying more of the operational costs. We're paying insurance. We're paying for building insurance, vehicle insurance. We're paying for
trying to take administrative burden off of volunteers so they can do the firefighting and rescue stuff that they're skilled and capable of doing.
Yeah.
We can do the paperwork.
Yeah, because we went out looking for, how much of your donations down, and they're like, we haven't even tried in 10 years. So
Yeah.
That's not every company is squad.
Not every,
but
yeah.
Some of them are like
but,
that.
You know, it's like we haven't done anything in years. You know, it's like, well, there you go. That's why your donations are down. You know.
That's why you have level donations because.
Because you're being donated Friday.
Let's work on
zero
that.
From year.
No, by the way, what do we want to do? Zero. Do we want to spend time on the weekends going fundraise, or we want to spend time manning a fire truck or an ambulance?
Training.
We surely want them to do that stuff, and we want them training, using the burn training. Building and doing training. And you want to provide the resources so they can train and have good esprit de corps and camaraderie, and you know, and keep each other's back when they're out there in the field. I mean, it's really important, and they're the least expensive, best alternative for Flavanna County. But it still requires collective leadership and some collective willingness to head in the same direction. And sometimes, when people are heading that way, sometimes somebody just says, sorry, this is the way we're going, and everybody has to come over to that line. But anyway, I'm preaching to the choir, I think. Any other departments that got any budget stuff while we're here with the board before they kick us out? Board members? Anything we can answer from you?
You guys want to continue and change here, or you want to, I think you wait for Mike?
I think we need to probably have
week.
He's gone next week, yeah, for sure. He's going to be gone next week, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe we can pencil in each of the individual persons, each of the priorities for the individual supervisors, and that way we'll have a starting point.
It'd be great if you will send us any priorities. I don't need Mr. Weaver to send me one because I know what the priority is.
But I'm looking for it.
Yes, sir. But I mean, honestly, if you've got something, like if you've got a specific question on a department, or if you wonder about this, or you'd like to have research on this, or could we see what the data is on this, look through your books, think about it, let us know. We'll have it for you, and we'll feed it to all of you at the next work session next week and can answer questions. Again, even tonight, most of the stuff we can answer on the fly because we've got, you know, data from... you know, the last 10 years for most kind of issues, but
and maybe next week too. Maybe we can see. I don't know if the commissioner will have any updates to values or anything at that point. So maybe we'll have.
Yeah, you'll get more within the next month.
Yeah.
You'll have more answers, but within the next month, you'll also have more answers on health insurance, and we still have to resolve the issue on pay stuff with the state. Is it? For constitutional officers and state supported local employees?
I sent the question to David Blount, and he sent it to VACO, and they're...
Okay. Is it the biennium that you have to cover, or is it this budget year? I think it's the biennium, and if that's the case, then that lessens the problem. But it's still a conundrum, because...
So what is our meeting like next? What's that?
Next week is complete budget work session. In here, doing nothing but... Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hard to do that full board because then Mike doesn't hear it. Then you got to go back and rehash it. Do we have to do it?
Can you come back?
I think it's
I mean, we're kind of in a. I mean, I think at the very least you can say, here's what's
pull
important
the budget
to me.
Calendar, please.
We don't have to decide whether we take it out, but you can say, I mean, for example, I think that some of the positions that Mr. Spitzer argued for, Mrs. Mabee argued for, are important. I'm probably going to say I think we need to move those over from that standpoint. Those are just a couple.
And let's see what the numbers are.
Off the top of my head. I mean, I'm not saying that's...
all of you may have some druthers on those, and you may want to move some over or not move some over, or move something back that's already funded. And then
before this conversation, you could say,
March.
We're not going to have a chief, so let's take the $100,000 out. Well, we know we still have some problems with that. So, you know, I think those are the kinds of things that we can at least start to...
So in March... You've got tonight is the 6th. You've got a regular budget work session on the 13th.
2 weeks.
We don't have one scheduled on the 27th, but it's just an oversight. It should be there as a placeholder for a budget work session.
No, there's one there right above it.
27th.
Oh, I'm sorry, 27th. Yeah. Okay.
So we don't have one. Now you'll have this one at 4:00, but that's right before your regular 7:00 meeting. So it's not like you can do a lot that time because it's that 2-hour limit. Sheridan won't be here this one. You've got this 4-hour. We can put a full budget work session on there and start it earlier if you want to.
Yeah, I just don't think we ought to move nothing over or talk about anything. That's full board is here.
Why would we even go to the meeting?
I mean, it's a waste of time.
Well, why even have the meeting then?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Perfectly fine with us. Staff, do you want to cancel a meeting?
Full
I mean, if we're not going to discuss it, then honestly.
Are you willing to start at 5 o'clock on the 27th to have a dinner, eating, budget work session, so and you can work for 4 or 5 hours?
The only thing is they have to set a tax rate on the 20th.
Yes, you're going to have to set a tax
set a budget.
Rate. Well, that's
well
true.
Then we have to meet.
unless you have a really long work session on the 20th and really hammer a lot of stuff
all
out.
All this full board here, we all have to put together.
Well, I think we should ask Mr. Sheridan to submit his priorities in advance.
But you need to hear the conversation.
Well, you really do.
You do. If I'm gone, I would not want you all to sit here and I come back. I don't know what you
and
said.
Everything you've done,
I don't
right?
know what your it's reason not, is. But it won't be done. But I wouldn't have the opportunity to hear your reasoning, your rationale.
But it's not going to be done. That's
I
the
know
plan.
It won't.
It's because we have to set the tax rate on the 20th. We're talking about the 13th. There's plenty of opportunity on the budget work session on the 20th for him to say, well, why wasn't this in here? It was important to me. You know, why was this taken out? What was the conversation behind that? You're not starting all over. We're going to start. We are
I don't
going,
agree, Tony.
Well, you're gonna have a very bad day on the 20th.
We need three of you to either agree or not agree, so we have a decision. Eric's right. The 20th is an important date because you have to set your tax rates that night. Otherwise, you're pushed off.
Huh? Well, I'm not going to be here
on the 20th. He will.
Yes. He will not be here next week on the 13th.
I'm not coming the 13th, so y'all three, and then Mike and I will come in the last night.
Well, you can do it that way.
Now, there's no reason why you can't have a special meeting. I mean, if our budget season is kind of goofy and he's going to be out of town and you want to do something, you can always do another night or another afternoon or take a whole afternoon and do a budget work session or do it a Saturday morning or whatever you want. We can accommodate whatever you need.
Or if you want to, if you absolutely had to, you can move the adoption back to the 27th and then you just have to adopt the budget.
On the 24th of April.
The 24th instead of the 17th.
Yeah, no, that's another thing. Is you can push it back one more week. That will get Linda's hair standing up and it won't get it on fire. As long as you adopt by the end of April, she's okay.
Well, I said my piece. I'll just go along with the rest.
You have a good point with five, because you might have too many ties, right? With four of us.
But it's hard for us to have.
We're not.
Not a full board.
Yeah, but we're not deciding necessarily.
No.
I'm just saying, this is my priority. You say this is my priority, you know.
But you're going to have a consensus for that.
Yep.
If that's your priority, it might not be the consensus of the rest of us.
No, because the following week we come back and say,
whatever you want to do,
we're going to take that out. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you have a consensus, but as you said, maybe it's a 2-2 consensus at that point in time. You can make a note, 2-2, Mike comes in and says, yeah, that's important to me. Now you have a 3-2 consensus on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it has to be that controversial. I just think it moves the process along. Because what if we get into a bottleneck on the 20th, you know, or on the 27th, then we're in a real, you know. And the more we talk about it, the better. I'm not saying it's a decisive thing. I'm just saying this is a priority to me.
Do you recall when Mr. Sheridan's coming back?
I think he leaves Friday and gone for a week or something.
Well, you could actually call him real quick.
Eric, why don't you call him, please? Right, Kelly, you call him. Go. And then just ask when he's coming back, because you may want to do a meeting before this one, before the 20th, but maybe not on the 13th. If you just forego the 13th and do it on the 17th, say, what's the 13th, 14th, 15th? 16th is Saturday, March 16th.
Unless you want to do a longer budget work session on the 20th.
Well, you could do it here, but then again, if you're stacking it all into the last night, the last day, yeah. That's can be a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
You're backing people into a corner.
No, you don't want to get backed into a corner.
Okay. We'll have to check with him. It went to voicemails. He's got stuff going on with family, so.
Well, do we have a vote to either cancel next week's meeting or go forward?
I can do whatever you all want to do.
I'm just the chair.
I can be here next week.
I'm the chair, so I don't have a voice there.
3-3-1.
I'm just asking.
I
can step down and let Mozo be the chair.
We're not doing that anymore.
It's okay to meet. If you think you're going to hash things out or get answers that we don't know, it's an opportunity to talk to staff.
It's hard. Yeah.
You gonna be here?
No.
All right, I say we should meet, so.
So we'll be here on the 13th to do budget work session. Board members, please, if you have things that you see in the media in between, let us know. Let us know in advance so we can get the answers back out to you or have it ready for next week.
And the time next week
it'll be 7 o'clock here, unless you want to do it earlier. We can change the times, but it'll just be here. We can start at 5 o'clock if you want to do, just so you don't have to stay so late and have dinner while you're working.
I think that's
my
a good
request
idea.
Is if you would talk to Mike Sheridan and see whether he has some favorites, whatever it is, so that he will at least have some kind of input.
We'll have his list for you.
Yeah, I think that's totally to be expected.
Other than that, if you don't do that, I'm not coming.
Okay.
And Mrs. Booker,
we promise we'll do it and we'll make something up if we can't get a hold of
it. Mrs. Booker, if two of us like a priority and two of us don't, we'll just make a note of it. And so that way, when we come back the following week, we can say, hey, this was a priority to two members.
You might have
and so you have that. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Yeah. So we're a friendly board.
Do you want to do the budget work session at 5 next week?
Yes, that's fine.
5:30.
Okay, let's do it on the hour. Let's do it 6 then.
6.
Okay.
6 o'clock. 6
o'clock. Okay, so we'll re-advertise. We'll put it on our website for 6, but 6 o'clock in here next week, and we'll try to make sure everybody knows there's a budget work session that's going to be in. We'll let Fire and Rescue know, too. So.
6 p.m.
Thanks very much.
I move that we're ready. Okay. I move that we're adjourned.
Second. All those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against, please say nay. Chair votes aye. Adjourned. Thank you for your time and energy.